Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
New York City. There's a video. People being arrested for trying to enter a museum without proof of vaccination. And one of the people being arrested appears to be a child. I don't know the full details on this. There's probably some nuance. Sometimes they're not really getting arrested. They're detained. But my understanding is that they're trying to claim trespassing, as we've seen with many of these other instances. Meanwhile, over in the UK, they have completely done away with all of their COVID restrictions. At least it's my understanding. The BBC says masks are out. People can now start coming back to work, and their vaccine passports, gone. It's interesting that the U.S. is not following suit. After the Supreme Court ruling saying Biden didn't have the authority to mandate any of this vaccine stuff, Carhartt says, we're going to do it anyway. Or at least that's what's being reported. And Starbucks says, nah, we're not going to do that. I jokingly referred to that as my pressure campaign against Starbucks working, because I said I was going to hire the people from the local Starbucks to basically protest the mandates, and then all of a sudden it happened. No, I'm kidding. But we got a lot to talk about, too. We got Joe Biden, who's under fire for saying that the upcoming election will be illegitimate because the Democrats weren't able to force through their voter overhaul bill. Didn't work. And we're going to be talking about censorship, big tech, and following up on a conversation about Getter with none other than the CEO of Gab and founder, Andrew Torba. How's it going, man?
Great to be here.
You want to pull your mic up a little bit closer?
Sure thing.
And just introduce yourself, man.
So I'm the CEO of Gab.com, the home of free speech on the internet. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And I'm here to save free speech on the internet. It's that simple.
So we talked with a couple different CEOs recently. We had Rumble, the video platform. A lot of their terms of service are very similar to the big tech platforms. Then we had the CEO of Getter. They have very similar rules. But I guess Gab is the one place where your only rule is what, the First Amendment?
Yeah, I actually brought a copy of our terms of service right here. Right?
Aha. So, it's a pocket constitution.
If you want me to read it, Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of or abridgment of the freedom of speech. Right? So it's really that simple. If it's allowed by the First Amendment, it is allowed on Gab.
All right. Well, there's a lot we got to break down in that one. And there's a lot of history about what has happened to Gab with institutions and censorship and all the stuff that you guys have been targeted with. So we'll get into all that. So thanks for coming, man.
Sure.
Plus the news in general. Plus we got Luke here.
I was hoping you would take out a piece of paper that would say I could do whatever I want. Yeah. I would have appreciated that one. Before we begin, I definitely want to shout out everyone in the house who participated in our first jiu-jitsu class. It went very, very well. It's our kind of unofficial fight club. Who needs security when we all know jiu-jitsu? I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm being facetious here. And I also wanted to remind people that it was never about the new normal. It was always about the new world order. And if you agree and want to wear this uniform out there to the general public and send this message to them, you can by getting this shirt on thebestpoliticalshirts.com, because you do. I'm here. Thank you so much. This should be a great conversation, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, guys, check out the Cast Castle vlog. I wanted to shout that out from yesterday. It was very funny. Seamus and Chris are a magical team. They're really hilarious guys. And I got to work with them on a fun movie skit yesterday. So check it out. And I'm Ian Crossland. Andrew, great to see you, man. Finally to meet you in person.
Great to be here.
It's been a long time. We've been working together in parallel systems. So this is really cool. And follow me, iancrossland.net, if you want to.
I'm really excited to have Andrew the night after we had the gentleman from Getter. So I'm stoked to hear what cool free speech we're going to talk about tonight.
Before we get started, head over to timcast.com and become a member to get access to exclusive members-only podcasts from this show, the Timcast IRL podcast. We're going to have a special segment at 11 p.m. tonight. You're not going to want to miss it, because that's where we talk about we call it the uncensored podcast show. We're basically swearing a lot, and we have no rules. But as a member, you're helping support this show. You're helping support all of our journalists. You're helping support our IT crew and all the tech and all the administrative work. So it is greatly appreciated. Your memberships are what basically make all of this possible and functioning. But don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Let's get into that first story. We got this tweet here from Libs of TikTok. NYPD arrest multiple people, including a young child, for trying to enter a museum without proof of vaccination. This, I think, shows you the extreme degrees some of these U.S. cities are willing to go. At the same time, check this out. Face mask rules and COVID passes to end in England. They're also saying that people can start working from home. So here's my question. What is this contrast? How are we? We're America. All right. We declared independence from them because we want freedom. And now over there in the UK, they're like, yeah, we're going to get rid of all this stuff. No COVID passes, freedom. And then here in the United States, we're split apart by people who want mandates and want to push it to the extreme and people who don't.
Well, some people just want to trample on freedom and squeeze that lemon to the last drop as, of course, cases are going down dramatically. The UK is obviously getting rid of all of their mandates, their lockdowns and restrictions. This is also the kind of dichotomy that's happening right now between that hipster clothing company. What is it called?
Carhartt
and Starbucks. Yeah. Whoa. Yuppie hipsters wear that all the time, just for the record.
And that was appropriated from us rural folks, by the way.
Exactly. But you know, the video that we saw today just shows you the absurdity. I mean, we don't even see this kind of larger push for the vaccine like we did before, because a lot of people are realizing a lot of bigger truths here. And it wasn't just the United Kingdom. It was also the Czech Republic that announced that vax mandates are totally gone in their country because the president called them nonsense from the start. Those are his own words. So we're seeing a big unraveling, which we've been talking about for weeks on this program. I've been saying, hey, a lot of things are going to change very dramatically in 2022, and this is it, and it's happening in front of our eyes. And this, to me, is the last drop that this kind of establishment has to squeeze everything they can out of this tragedy that unfolded on the world.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is a representation of the two different realities that we both live in right now. We have two different sides of reality for, you know, large swaths of the population, including countries. And of course, we're seeing it here in the United States with states, right? So we see people by hundreds of thousands that are fleeing these blue states, places like New York, going to Florida, going to Texas, going to places where they have freedom and they aren't being told that they can't enter a store. They're going to have a child arrested. This is absurd, right? So this type of stuff is actually going to drive more and more people to the places where they will get freedom. And it's going to accelerate the balkanization that I think we're seeing in the United States right now.
And there are people who don't mind living in these places. They don't think twice. They walk up to their 7-Eleven parking lot and the nice man comes and gives them their shot and gives them their card and they're happy with it. And there are celebrities who advocate for that. My position is and always has been, you need sound advice from a trusted medical professional. Hey, that's what YouTube says you're supposed to say. Yet for some reason, there are high profile celebrities who advocate for you to not do that, but to just go into a 7-Eleven parking lot, which is the craziest thing to me. But hey, look, you know what? My position is live and let live. If you live in New York or California or Cook County, the Chicagoland area, and you want to just, you know, do whatever you want, man. Don't look at me. I mean, I'll tell you what I think. But people are going to be staying and other people are going to be going. And that hyperpolarization we've seen in this country, you mentioned balkanization, this is accelerating it.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable, right? I think, you know, when you have a country where people live in these two different spheres, these two different realities, what do we share in common anymore? What makes us united? I mean, just, you know, a piece of paper, right? Is this what makes us united?
No.
Because there's people that don't even believe in this anymore.
And you're holding the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll point this out. People on the right all the time are like, you know, Tim Pool's a liberal or he's a centrist or center left. And I'm like, I don't think those words matter anymore.
Right.
Because what this is really about is, do you believe in reality or not?
Right.
You can have a bunch of views on religion that I don't have, but we both look at the news. We both break things down and say, hey, this thing is true and this thing isn't. Right. Censorship, it's happening. We both are more likely to believe in aspects of freedom that the left will completely ignore or disregard,
right,
even if we have some disagreements. The left believes, I quote unquote the left, you know, the establishment left, they believe outright falsehoods and they like almost, it's almost like they want to. Russiagate for years, Jussie Smollett, Covington, all of these things that should stop and give you pause and be like, maybe that's not correct. So we have a ton of people on this show. Just so happens that it is more so the colloquial right. And it's not that we're politically right wing on this show. Certainly we all have varying opinions, but it's because we all agree on what's true. So I don't know what left and right even means at this point, but if there are two groups of people that completely view the world in two different ways, they're not going to work together.
I feel like it's more nuanced than do you believe in reality or not? More that it's more the question is, how do you perceive reality? And it's different for every individual, although it seems like it's 50-50-ish. Like most people kind of see reality in a certain way, similarly in another group. I don't even think it's that
simple,
it's two groups. It's so many different groups of people.
I see what you're saying, but what I mean specifically is Russiagate was fake. Donald Trump did not collude with Russia. That was a false narrative from the press. And
seems
there are people,
to be fake, yeah.
Seems to be. No, it's definitively fake.
From what the proof, from the evidence we've seen, well, I've seen, it seems to be. I'm not going to lay my hat on any of this.
I think that's actually smart of you, because you haven't done the research I've done. I can definitively say I've seen enough that beyond a reasonable doubt, it is true Trump did not do this. For you, you trust me, you've seen some stuff.
Good point.
So that's actually a fair assessment. But if you're someone who says, after 5 years of all of the lies, well, how much did they spend on the Mueller investigation? It pulls up nothing. Then they lie about the Ukraine phone call. They lie about everything Trump does. At a certain point, if you still believe that and you still believe them, it has to be willful.
Right. I think ultimately what we're seeing here is what is actual reality, right? Where reality exists, and then what is the reality that the establishment regime wants us to believe exists, right? And in the reality that exists is the truth. And in that reality, if you separate the Democrat versus Republican stuff, and you just talk about, you know, basic facts of life, most people.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Whether you're Democrat or Republican, you want to provide for your family, you want to protect your family, you want to live in a safe society where you can go to the store without having your child arrested, right? I think Democrat or Republican, I think we can agree on that type of stuff. And this divide that they, this illusion that they have, they're the uniparty. They share the values. They have a unified objective. The regime is against us. It's us versus the regime. It's not Democrat versus Republican, because ultimately when you break down what, you know, Democrats and Republicans as human beings, it's human beings versus these technocratic tyrants, right? That is the ultimate, you know, dichotomy here of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Whatever lives is absolutely, like, it's what I look right at it.
It's absolutely, it's either you believe in freedom or the subjugation of the free human spirit. And there are still some people holding out, but I would say by and large, I think a lot of people are realizing that they were scammed, that they were lied to, that they were not being told the truth. This video that we just saw happened in New York City. The state.
Well, we should play it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, there's cursing.
Keep talking, we'll play.
There's cursing in there, so we might have to cut the audio. But this is video of activists doing the sit-ins that we literally saw decades ago, when, of course, segregation was legal here in the United States. Discrimination based on people's own personal medical advice is absolutely deplorable. It's a disgusting policy that the NYPD is willingly carrying out on behests of the state. And there's also reports that the mother of this child also had CPS called on her. So it does seem like the state is trying to punish all these individuals, all these activists standing up for their personal liberty, for their individual right to be able to participate in society without needing to get government permission. A domestic passport system is absolutely insane, and these people are trying to institutionalize it, and luckily that battle has been lost. I think the big domino, which is the United Kingdom, has fallen. More dominoes will fall from here. And when you look at the numbers, especially when it comes to cases, the UK, when it comes to cases, it looks like it's about 1 week ahead of the United States. So, and right now in the UK, the cases are dramatically going down, and a lot of people expect the cases to go down in the United States, because, and when that happens, this whole game is going to be unraveled to the American public.
How mad do you think people are going to be when they were like, they said wear masks, they said get vaxxed, they said get two shots, get three shots, they still locked us down, and then after we did everything they asked, they just release all the lockdowns, and everyone who disobeyed gets to freely participate.
Think about the awakening of that, though. If you're someone who got, you know, the fourth booster and wore the mask every day and stayed home and locked down and all that stuff, and all of a sudden this all ends, what does that do to your psyche, right?
I don't know, man. You'd think at this point people would be like, maybe I shouldn't trust the establishment narrative, but they just keep doing
it. Well, I think this is the red pill moment. This is it. It's like an evolutionary necessity that people are exposed to the reality. And it happened to me in 2005, because I was on the internet making videos and people were like, hey, did you know about the Federal Reserve? Did you know about the military industrial complex? And these were like new words to me. I was like, well, no, but tell me. Oh my gosh. Hey, everyone. They're like, Ian, you're crazy. But now it's, you cannot deny when the people are injecting you or coercing you to inject yourself, and then you find out that, fill in the blank, you might go nuts.
Well, you find out that it, you know, in the UK, the vax passport's done.
Yeah.
So the, there were people who were told, if you want to participate and go to bars and restaurants, you have to do this. And they said, okay. And now, a few months later, they go, actually, nah, scrap it.
Actually, it's a less people lethal variant. Like,
it's not about that. For me, it's not about the science. It's not about the medical stuff. That's your personal business. It's the people who were told, if you want to go out to eat, you have to do what we tell you to do. And they did. I don't care if it's wear a fuzzy hat or get a vaccine. The point is, the people who obeyed the government ultimately end up realizing they shouldn't have. That they should have done what was right for them. And if that means going to a doctor, and, you know, we've had a lot of people on the show who have been vaccinated. They're older,
yeah,
and their doctors advised it. There's a lot of people who probably don't care about this. And that's the other important thing. You're going to see a lot of people on the left being like, oh, they're so worked up. No, no, I recognize that a good portion of people probably went to their doctor, got a vaccine, and said, have a nice day, and never thought twice. But there are a lot of people who are just doing whatever they're told by the state when they realize. I'll give you an example. There's that guy in a store stalking a woman, screaming, is anyone else mad that we all have to wear masks and she yes. isn't wearing one? Mm-hmm. That's exactly who I'm talking about. Those people are going to lose it when they're like, no, but I did what I was told.
Yeah, they need they're going to need like a safe place to regain sanity. So there'll be it's an opportunity to make fun of people and be like, you stupid idiot. Look how you fell for that. You more and just make people so angry and hateful. But ultimately, I think if we can be forgiving and kind.
I was just going to say, it's an opportunity for empathy, because if we show them empathy, then they will be more open to our ideas and saying, listen next time. You know, you called us conspiracy theorists. You called us, you know, extremists and all this stuff and anti-science and all this stuff. And now you've woken up to this. Well, maybe next time they'll listen to us if we show them a little bit of empathy this time. I think that has a powerful effect.
I think a lot of people are going to go crazy. I think those feelings are going to be exacerbated, specifically when it comes to individuals who are still locked down. I use that word specifically. I know exactly what I'm doing here. I posted a meme on my Instagram page showing a confused, blonde-haired, bare-chested Australian on barbed wire looking confused. And it says, Australians watching the UK remove all mask mandates. And there's going to be a feeling in Australia, in the Netherlands, being like, why are we still doing this when the rest of the world didn't do this? And I truly do believe what Florida did during this entire saga was absolutely crucial when it came to defeating the mandates and lockdowns here in the United States. If it wasn't for Florida, if it wasn't for Governor DeSantis, Texas followed him. Other states followed his lead, specifically saying, we're not even going to implement this here in the first place. And because of that, this is why I think it wasn't, set into play all throughout the United States, because of him standing up and saying no. Other states are saying no right now. Other countries are saying no right now. And other countries are going to be looking on, be like, hey, they get to have some freedom. We want some of that too.
Let's see what happens with Carhartt. BBC reports Carhartt facing calls for boycott over vaccine mandates. The outcry comes amid a fierce debate over the U.S. COVID-19 jabs. This month, SCOTUS said the government could not force large employers to make COVID-19 vaccination or weekly testing mandatory. Companies, including the coffee chain Starbucks, have since reversed their plans. But in a recent memo to staff, Carhartt leaders said the Supreme Court decision had not changed the company requirements. Now, this is resulting in many people calling for a boycott. I'll tell you first the funniest thing. I love it. I responded to this by saying, how about this? If you work for Carhartt and you don't want to get vaccinated, quit. My view on this is like, I'm not a communist. I'm not going to demand a private business be forced to employ me or you know, if I don't want to work there, I won't. But for some reason, the left ragged on me for it. And the best part was on Reddit, they were like, but he's right though. Like he's telling him to quit. What's wrong with that? Yeah, I don't think there's any actual principle, for the most part, behind what Carhartt is doing and behind what people, the establishment left and pro-mandate people believe. It's all tribal. If they can make fun of someone, quote-unquote, on the right, they'll do it, even if they should be agreeing with it. Now, as for Carhartt, the company, what do you think? You think they're going to lose money on this deal?
Listen, I know Carhartt because 90% of my wardrobe is Carhartt, right?
You're not wearing Carhartt now, though.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, wearing Milwaukee tonight, right? Otherwise, it would have been, right? You could ask my wife. She'll confirm this. It's about 90% of my wardrobe is Carhartt. You know, it's rural, rugged, blue-collar people, working-class people who are, by and large, anti-vaccine mandates. So it's an example of total tone deafness from a corporation about their core target demographic. And that is a real problem. And it's a problem for us too, because we can't just boycott everything, right? There, you know, what am I going to go do? I'm going to take all my Carhartt clothes now and, you know, burn them in the fire pit. Like,
dance,
you know,
around naked.
Right. It's like, you know, I love my Carhartt stuff, and it's, it really breaks my heart that they're doing this. But, you know, at the same time, it's almost like, where are the options, right? You know, where's the non-wool company, out there? And it's like, it's almost like everywhere you turn, it's every single corporation. You cannot escape it.
Strangely, Starbucks, check this out from People, drops COVID vaccine and testing requirements for employees after Supreme Court ruling. So I live in West Virginia, not too far away from where we do this production. And I went to a coffee shop with my girlfriend. We wanted to go shop local. And so we went to this local shop with a big sign on the door saying you had to wear a mask. And I look behind me and it's like 100 feet away. It's longer than that. It's across the street. And I'm like, there's a Starbucks right there. They have no mask mandate. Let's go there instead.
I'm going to go there, right?
I'm going to go there. I would rather give money to the small business, but not if you're in West Virginia, of all places, supposed to have all this freedom, and you, as a private business, want me to do that. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to go, you crazy. I'm going to be like, oh, well, Starbucks it is, I guess. I'm not going to complain to the store. But I'll tell you this, after this, I'm going to go first thing in the morning. I'm going to buy a bunch of Starbucks for the whole staff. I don't like the company, to be completely
honest.
That's
the psyop, dude. Don't fall for it. They make us all angry and villainous, and then the first person to relax is the Kingdom of Britain, the king, the queen, and the corporations of Starbucks. They want you
Didn't
part of
Starbucks
the machine.
Didn't Starbucks do like woke training? Didn't yes. they shut down for a week because they wanted to re-educate all of their employees on specific SJW kind of principles?
Yes, and in that instance, I would be like, okay, I'm not going to shop there. But when someone does something right, I want to encourage it. If Starbucks is saying, we're dropping this, I want to go there and say, you guys are awesome. I love what you're doing. Let me buy some coffee from you. Do more like this. Let Starbucks realize that when they do that woke insanity, they lose customers. And when they do yes. right by working class people, they gain customers.
Exactly. I talk about this all the time. The most power that we have is our wallet. Where we're spending our time and where we're spending our money. That has the most, that is how you vote, right? That is the best way to vote. And that is what gets the most action from these companies, is when they see their profits go up after making a move like this, they're going to pay attention to that.
If Starbucks ends up making a bunch of money, retaining employees, and is Starbucks publicly traded? It is, right?
Yes.
I think so.
If their stock value goes up, it's not just the company, it's the shareholders. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, tell Starbucks to do more like this. We're making money. It's improving. My portfolio is doing better. And then Starbucks is going to be like, hey, the customers have spoken. That's why you reward companies when they do right. You punish them when they do bad.
And if the people that have stock in Starbucks have a lot of stock in Starbucks and they're like, hey, we like that this company is making us money. Now we want all our other investments to start doing what they're doing.
Exactly.
Well, the principles here matter. Carhartt has about 5,500 employees. Starbucks has over 200,000. But the people working at Carhartt now have to make a very tough decision, you know, especially if they can't get this procedure, especially if they have some complications, or if they just personally have religious values or belief systems that complicates this. They have to choose their livelihood over complying with the whims of a corporation that's not even liable for a product that they're forcing them to take. That's disgusting Orwellian behavior that should never be tolerated, and they are facing a lot of backlash. They are facing a lot of boycott, and good. I think maybe they were trying to double down on their yuppie hipsters, because it is blue-collar people who do wear their clothes, but it's also a lot of urban hipsters as well. Maybe they were just trying to appease their kind of trying to reshift their brand just to be cool. I don't know.
They didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
That's the point. Starbucks doing this is them deciding to make a public announcement that they had to. If they didn't want to have the mandate, they could have dropped it and said, okay, we're not going to, you know, they're dropping it. They're making that statement. Carhartt or Starbucks, they could have said nothing. They could have just been like, we'll just do nothing and change nothing. Starbucks decided to make that shift. Carhartt decided to reinforce and announce to everybody, we're going to keep doing this. So there it is. You know, the Carhartt has made their decision. At a time when most of these companies know there's a major divide in the market, why Carhartt? This is the crazy thing to me. Starbucks is the woke company, and they chose freedom. Mm-hmm. And Carhartt is the working class company, and right. they chose oppression.
Totally upside down. totally upside down. And, you know, I think this is a perfect example of the parallel societies that we're seeing, right? They're seeing two different societies here and two different sides of the narrative and two different shifts in what companies are going to do. They're going to have to start making choices like this every day, and it's going to impact their bottom line. And people need to, again, vote with their dollars. That is the most important thing. Your time, your dollars, that is where you have the power.
We actually, I made this joke the other night, but we have a vaccine mandate on this show. Everybody who watches has to be vaccinated.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're at home and you're not vaccinated, I'm just kidding.
Are you thinking about lifting the mandates?
I've officially lifted all the mandates. If you're watching at home and you are not vaccinated and you are not wearing a mask, we're going to allow it.
Because we're right there
with Starbucks.
That's right.
I think Starbucks is going to make a lot of new hires this year.
Mm-hmm. Were those of you
first one?
Were those of you listening at home not wearing a mask?
What?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We're going to have to spend 2 or 3 years, a bunch of money and investigation to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
I'm just pretending like we're the American government wasting time.
Oh, right. Everybody send us $20 million and we'll investigate ourselves and find we did nothing wrong.
This January 6th committee, it feels like a lot of money and a lot of attention on something that is not that big of a deal. What amount of attention and money has been spent on this one day, relatively nonviolent.
It's like the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton scandal, in my opinion.
Someone did die. Some people died. So it was definitely
Monica Lewinsky.
But it wasn't like the entrance into the Capitol.
One woman died because she was killed by a cop.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I think
someone fell off a wall.
Trampled. And then someone was trampled. Someone had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So
cops were cool.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Let me tell you why they have to keep this narrative alive. They are trying to demonize 80 million people in this country. That is why they are trying to keep this narrative alive. Full stop. You know, we all know, common sense people know, I think both on the left and the right, really wasn't that big of a deal, okay? Not the deal that they're making it out to be.
It was
and
bad.
They're going to keep dragging this on and milking this cow for as long as they can for the purpose of demonizing 80 million people in this country. That is what it's about.
But you guys want to know something? You know, when we did a poll of our show and people who watches, it was mostly like moderate libertarian leaning individuals. They weren't far right or left or anything, just regular kind of people. And then you have it leans a little bit more right in some areas than it would left, but we actually had people who self-identified as socialist and far left who watch the show. Some people hate watch it, some people actually like watching it. But beyond this show, which is, I guess it's a big show, but Joe Rogan's a really big show. When you have Joe Rogan praising James O'Keefe, and that was incredible.
That's awesome.
And Joe actually defended me. I'm eternally grateful, Joe. That was, I really do appreciate it. He was talking with James Lindsay. Joe's a regular guy who leans left. I mean, he's pro UBI. The regular people in this country aren't falling for any of this stuff anymore. The establishment can come out and scream January 6th or whatever they want, but regular people are just like, yo, we don't believe you. You've lost. We're not with you anymore. Your narrative is gone. CNN's ratings are 90% down. MSNBC, 90% down. People aren't buying it.
But you know what makes me nervous? Did you see that video of the kids? I don't know what country it was in, but they were asking the kids, do you – I was France, I think. Do you want
Quebec, Canada.
Yeah, dude. You want vaccinated? So they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, these little six-year-olds.
What do you do if someone's not vaccinated? You call the police.
So you take away everything from them until they comply. That was one of the response by the little girls who was speaking in French Canadian.
It seems like there has been a de-escalation away from authority and society, but then the kind of brainwashing of children is happening now that I haven't seen a lot of, but that video was crazy.
Yeah, their biggest fear is us waking up and stop the bickering between Democrat and Republican, left and right, and uniting together against the regime. That is their biggest fear. That is why they keep pumping all of these stories on both Fox and CNN constantly with the drama. What did AOC wear on her dress? What did she tweet today? All of this nonsense to keep us distracted and divided and focused on batting heads with one another instead of uniting and batting head against the dragon, right?
What do you think would have happened if in 2015, or like as we're getting in the 2016 cycle, Bernie and Trump teamed up?
That would have been so awesome.
Because the insurgent populist left, mm-hmm. which very much does not get along with the insurgent populist right, but both despise the establishment, the regime, the cathedral, it would have been it. That would have been a political revolution in this country, but they effectively made sure that, you know, Bernie, he caved. He gave right into the machine and he changed his positions. Bernie Bernie said open borders is a bad thing. Three, 4 years later, he's like, it's a good thing. If Bernie stuck to his positions and actually worked with the right and the right was willing to work with him, the establishment would have been wiped out. But they're holding on by a thread with this Biden guy who can't think straight. And it's sad. It is. Let's do this. Let's talk about this. Let's get into this. We have this story from the Wall Street Journal. Biden draws criticism after raising prospect of illegitimate 2022 election. White House says president wasn't casting doubt on midterm results. Let's not waste time. Joe Biden was asked about not getting through two bills which would overhaul the U.S. election system. He then said that he thinks the election in November would be illegitimate, which is an insane thing to say. Because if these bills have not been voted in now, then what's he saying about the 2020 election? Well, Jen Psaki comes out and she goes, let me be clear. He wasn't saying that the election would be illegitimate. He's saying what Trump did, blah, blah, blah. Because then Kamala Harris comes out and she goes, hold on there, let me finish. The election will be, and then she basically backed up Joe Biden. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have pushed the idea that the election will not be free and fair because they did not get through their complete voter overhaul.
Wow. It's like a child screaming when they don't get a candy bar.
How about this?
But he's the president.
Yes, absolutely. You want to talk about Trump arguing about voter fraud and stuff too. I'm not going to play these games. You can't come out and ban on YouTube discussion of Donald Trump's opinions and then not. So hold on there a minute. YouTube, I certainly hope you start enforcing this against all of the Biden supporters who are going to be saying this stupid nonsense.
So they say they don't want you to say that certain elections in the past have been rigged or whatever. That's kind of part of YouTube's events, but.
What about future elections
is okay to say, hey,
it's
demoralizing to say that stuff, though, for the president to be like, this election's not going to be any good upcoming. People won't vote if you say that, dude, don't say that.
I agree. And I, as well as many others, have been critical of Trump and many Trump supporters for telling people that there's effectively, you know, by pushing the fraud narrative, it tells people not to bother. And then you see what happens in Georgia when the Democrats end up winning two seats they should not have won. But there were people outside who were saying there's no point, why bother? And it's like, you need to go vote, man. More importantly, you need to vote in the primaries. You got to vote in all your local elections. And then you got to make sure the establishment uniparty types are removed. And this is our opportunity. I have a feeling come, you know, next December, I'm going to be very, very disappointed. But, you know, for the time being, I'm going to be like, guys, primary everyone. Democrat, Republican, primary them all. And if you don't like any of that, vote Mises Caucus.
I think they see what's coming, right? They see that the midterms are going to be a total washout because people are not happy with Biden's policies. His approval rating is in the tanks. So they know the numbers. They have this internal data. So they're trying to see this narrative now, and they're going to be talking about this and pushing it for the next year so that when it happens, they can pull their whole Russiagate nonsense again. Well, the election was stolen. Somebody did something. And they might point at Gab, by the way, because we have, you know, almost 100 candidates in the 2022 race on our site that are organizing, raising money, building communities, etc. And I think we're going to be an underdog for this race, and we may get blamed for the red wave that is coming.
I have never said Donald Trump won the 2022 election. I have said in 2020, like in May and October, people are bringing this up, that Trump was right about certain issues pertaining to fraud, but that was before an election took place, and there was like CNN reporting on fraud and stuff, but not widespread fraud. I have no problem arguing with people like Steve Bannon, having those debates, and now we're at a point where the Democrats pulling a complete 180 and doing everything they complained Republicans were doing, and that's why I'm just like, you can't gaslight me. You can have this conversation. I can look into this. I can ask for evidence. But then when you come out and try and make, and you think I'm stupid enough to believe that after a year or longer of you saying all of these things about Trump, then you start saying them. Sorry. It literally can't work. You must believe these people are dumb as a box of rocks. Unfortunately, some people are very dumb, but the narrative is not going to work anymore. This is also going to be a red pill moment for a lot of people. They're going to be like, wait a minute. Aren't the Democrats the ones claiming Trump was lying about fraud and then Trump claimed he won? And now they're already starting to push that same exact narrative? Yes, because they're liars. I think people are going to wake up to this and be like, hey, maybe the media is lying to me. I hope more people do, to be honest.
I feel like the brain of the American country got infected by like a parasite when the Federal Reserve's perform their coup in 1913, and now it's like I'm looking at it like it's my wife who has a parasite in her brain, and I'm like, I love you. You are everything to me, but it's not her anymore. It's something else now, but I still love the corporeal form. What am I supposed to do? I want to extract the parasite. I want to reduce the Federal Reserve and create a new economy.
The best way to do that is by getting into things like Bitcoin. That is why they're freaking out. You see them starting to see this narrative right now. Hillary's coming out. Even Trump has come out against Bitcoin, yep. Right? Why is that? Right. So people should start looking into that because the way, you know, I was talking about this before we started the show. Bitcoin is free speech money. Bitcoin is the only reason that Gab still exists right now, because in 2019, when we got banned from everything, payment processors, PayPal, everything, we were still able to accept Bitcoin. We didn't need permission from any bank. We didn't need permission from any corporation or any government to do that. That is how we take down the Federal Reserve.
That woman is a succubus, Ian. And just be careful. Watch out. She's going to take everything from you, including all of your money.
But she leave you indebted forever. Too. Okay, I'm sorry.
She still represents a great idea that should be protected at all costs. But to go on this kind of area when it comes to cryptocurrencies, I think this is why countries like Venezuela and Russia have been talking about developing their own cryptocurrencies. The U.S. Federal Reserve is also hinting that they may just create Fedcoin. But just like anything, it's a technology, just like the internet. It could be used for good. It could be used for bad. And you guys were helped by it. Julian Assange was helped by it when he was debanked. Major banking institutions, Visa, MasterCard attacked Julian Assange and WikiLeaks because the CIA ordered them to do so. They took down all of his accounts, and he was only able to raise money with Bitcoin, which made him a multimillionaire. So, you know, everything has a karmic way of working out in the world, and I think whether it's a PSYOP or not a PSYOP, cryptocurrency does represent a possibility of freeing people just like the internet did. We just have to hope it doesn't get corrupted.
It is like the monetary version of a free speech network.
Correct.
It is people's ability to bypass the establishment, their controls, their narratives. What I love most about Bitcoin is the stories about really weird and gross people who became millionaires and billionaires. It's just like the dude in 2011 who was like, I need a decentralized and, you know, secret currency to use. For what reason, I wonder? And now they're rich.
Dude, I had a guy sleeping on my couch who's a billionaire right now. I'm not even joking. What a B. And he was a bum. He was eating my macaroni and cheese, like microwavable.
And then
shout out to you. I'm still shocked. People know exactly who I'm talking about. The dude was I was just like, dude, you know, back in the day, you know, if someone needed to stay somewhere, I was like, yeah, I stay at my place. This dude was overstaying his welcome like a mother. I was like, dude, you know, maybe you could go stay at someone else's.
Pay you back?
Sounds like he's about time to pay back with interest, bro.
Remember, times 10.
He didn't pay me back.
Remember when Max Kaiser, I think it was, gave Alex Jones 10,000 Bitcoin?
I was there.
You know, they say Bitcoin is decentralized, but if you're at the top of it looking down at the blockchain, you're basically looking at a centralized system of nodes. So it's really centralized.
Not necessarily, no. No. At this point, you know, over this many years, right, it has become so decentralized. And that is why, you know, China has tried to overtake it with the mining and stuff, and they haven't been successful, right? Every attempt to take down Bitcoin, every time there's an article that comes out, Bitcoin is dead. Oh, it's tanking now. It's dead this time. There's actually a website that tracks this. It's been like hundreds of times over the past 13 years or whatever it is. That the reason that I trust Bitcoin so much is not only because it saved my own business, but also because no central authority controls it. There's not one government. And there, by the way, there are countries now, entire countries that are adopting Bitcoin, which is really telling. And when I see the establishment, you know, both the left and the right coming out and attacking it, that's when I know that it is the real deal. You know, it is absolutely decentralized, and it is absolutely the only one that is decentralized. I'm a Bitcoin maximalist myself. I believe that Bitcoin is the thing that is going to end these things like the central bankers, the Federal Reserve, all these things. I think it's a matter of time.
Yeah. El Salvador implemented it.
Correct.
As their kind of national currency, and the World Bank and the IMF started attacking them because of it.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And now they're doing financially, you know, better than they were before. Yeah. They're allowing people to, of course, have the ability to transact with each other with cryptocurrency in a non-centralized way. What Venezuela and Russia have been developing is literally track, trace, and database surveillance.
Correct.
Fed coins. What El Salvador has been doing is completely different, and it's going to be a very important case in looking at how this is implemented on a national scale and the larger effects that it's going to have on their markets, which is truly fascinating. I was thinking about going down there and investigating it and possibly even moving down there. They're creating a tax-free business zone as well, which some people are saying is going to be the next kind of Singapore. Who knows if it will, if it won't, if Bitcoin will crash? No one knows. No one can predict that, but it certainly is providing a lot of opportunities outside of the mainline establishment system, which I think is absolutely great.
Just an aside, some people are saying Twitter is down.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm looking at.
I can't check Twitter.
Hey,
now.
Gab is not.
Let me tell you, do.
Let me take this opportunity to tell you, gab.com.
Gab is up and running.
Well, so, you know, with Biden making all of these statements, them trying to walk it back, Kamala Harris doubling down, hopefully this double standard is a big smack in the face, figuratively, to a lot of people, among many other things, among the COVID lockdowns and the vaccine passports and all of that stuff. I don't know if I should be as hopeful that people pay attention, because when a good example is when Lauren Boebert tweeted that Biden said Truna not a Shabbat of pressure. She said Biden never, you know, fulfilled his promise on Truna not a Shabbat of pressure. The left's response was her brain broke. What is she trying to say? Because they don't actually listen to what Joe Biden says. So if Joe Biden comes out and says this, they probably did not hear it. Only we did, because we're the ones paying attention. So you have people in this country who don't pay attention to what's going on and then go vote. And then you have people who do pay attention, and they're called conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem of censorship and echo chambers, of people just following the same voices, the same ideas, the same kind of viewpoints, just regurgitated to them with different kind of points with them. But essentially, they're just regurgitating the same thing, doubling down and becoming more radicalized. This is why censorship needs to be pushed back at all costs. And, I mean, you're here. I have a lot of questions I want to ask especially about your algorithm, but we could save that
for
later.
Let's do it right now. We're talking about, so we were just talking about how Joe Biden can come out and claim the upcoming election is going to be illegitimate. But YouTube bans and censors those conversations. Twitter censored information on Hunter Biden's laptop, which would have changed the results of the election. Facebook did the same thing. You, Andrew, are the CEO of Gab, and I think are you the only social media platform that uses the First Amendment as its rule book?
The only one. We are the only free speech platform.
I think Mines does that too.
Do they?
Yeah, First Amendment, and it's based on law in Connecticut, the state where it's incorporated. So,
interesting. Yeah. Well, good for both of you.
Good. Excellent. Yeah, dude.
But so let's break this down. Gab has been attacked. They've tried to shut you down. They've gone after your infrastructure. You have sitting in front of you a pocket Declaration of Independence and Constitution. You say it's if it doesn't, you know, if it's within the First Amendment, people are allowed to say it. Why are these big tech companies trying to take Gab offline?
Right. So we are the most no-platformed, censored, deplatformed, whatever you want to call it, technology startup in history. We've been banned from both app stores because Apple and Google came to me and they demanded that we censor things that they didn't like. And I said, no, absolutely not, because you don't make the same demands of Facebook and Twitter. You can find hate speech on Twitter. You can find hate speech on Facebook. And I'm not going to censor it because you're not making them censor it. Okay. So I refuse to bend the knee and they banned us from the app stores. They actually banned our entire developer account in Apple's case. We've been banned from banks, Tim. We've been banned from every payment processor. We've been banned from hosting services, right? Email services, about 30 plus different services all in all, right? With all the infrastructure that it requires to run a social media website. So what we've done over the past 5.5 years since I started Gab is we've built our own. People go say, if you don't like it, it's the free market, go build your own. That's exactly what we did. We are the only platform that has done that. All these other platforms that are coming out now, they're saying, we're the free speech platform. If you look at where their servers are hosted, they're hosted on Amazon. Mm-hmm. If you look at who they depend on, it's Apple and Google on the app stores. If you look at their terms of service, they have the exact same terms of service as Facebook, as Twitter. So it's basically Silicon Valley, but with a new logo. Okay. And that's not what we're building.
What about Minds? Are they on Amazon?
At the moment, they were on Amazon as of 6 months ago, and I talked to Bill, and he was like, we're moving off Amazon.
Beautiful.
I haven't followed up with him since that conversation.
That's the only way forward, is building your own infrastructure. And we've had to build it all. We have our own physical server hardware racks, okay?
Yeah.
And we have to physically maintain those and upgrade those and swap out new hard drives and all of that type of stuff. And that is just a massive amount of work.
For what reason? So they say, if you don't like Twitter, go make your own. And you did.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, different companies, seemingly unrelated, started knocking out the support beams from your service.
Right.
I can understand. So you mentioned, you know, Google says, hey, we want you to censor certain things. You said, no, so they ban you. But what about banks? Why would a bank ban you?
Well, they tried attacking us from every different angle. From after 3 weeks after we launched, actually, 5.5 years ago, they started with the smear campaign, right? It's alt-right, it's Nazis, it's all this stuff, right? And that didn't work. We kept growing, we kept getting bigger. So then they said, okay, surely if we ban them from the app stores, then they're not going to go anywhere, right? A social network without an app on the app stores, it's dead in the water. And we kept growing. And then we kept growing and growing and growing. And they said, okay, we're going to go after their bank accounts. We're going to go after payment processors. And when they can't process payments, they're done. There's no way a business can exist on the internet without being able to accept credit cards or PayPal or all these major, you know, payment infrastructures. And thanks to stuff like Bitcoin and, checks, physical checks that people would mail into our PO box. So we had old technology and new technology. And that is what kept us afloat for an entire year before we were able to build our own payment system and come up with our own solution.
So you're, on the forefront, the in terms of protecting actual free speech, which means you've got probably a lot of detestable conversations and really awful people, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's words on the screen, right?
Yep.
A lot of people that I don't agree with, a lot of people that don't like me, a lot of people that say a lot of nasty things about me and my family, and it's allowed. And that's actually how you know that it's a free speech platform. There's a parody account of me called Andrew Tuba. And I think it's one of the funniest accounts on Gab. It's actually one of my favorite accounts, and maybe they don't know this, but I find it hilarious because, you know, you see that, and that is allowed on there. You could find stuff like that on there, even about me, the founder, the owner, right?
I really don't know if I should bring it up, but people have mentioned that posts critical of the Getter crew have been removed. Is that
absolutely
true?
False? No,
it's false.
Absolutely false.
Getter didn't do any of that stuff.
No, absolutely not. Oh, they're removing it, or we are?
No. I've heard that on Getter.
Oh yes,
oh, yeah,
yes.
People
yes.
have questioned Getter.
I thought you were saying we were doing that.
No.
No.
Is that true though?
No, what I
saw people chatting it, and I want to be careful because if I can't prove it, I don't want to bring it up.
No,
that's why I'm reticent.
What I've heard is anybody that's critical of Miles, their billionaire, their Chinese billionaire, who's behind it.
We had the conversation about Fuentes the other day with the CEO of Getter, and I don't want to drag a specific platform into this, but considering, you know, Jason Miller was just here, and it's very obvious to everybody, I didn't find his response adequate on what rule was broken by Nick Fuentes. Look, man, my position has always been this. Oliver Darcy of CNN interviewed me in 2018 when they started banning the alt-right from Twitter, and I said, it's a dangerous precedent. We always have been, you know, and I'm going to say the as liberals in this country, because I grew up in Chicago, up in the city, I've always been left-leaning. We're always about free speech. And then all of a sudden, Twitter's like, we're banning only this group of people. And I'm like, if they're not threatening violence, if they're not targeting people, even to a certain degree, an argument about harassment, I'd be willing to accept. You just don't like their opinions? Well, I don't like their opinions either. Argue them. Like the ACLU, when they defended really awful people in Skokie, Illinois, in that famous story, now they're all not doing it. They're backing away. They're all going full authoritarian.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So my position has always been, I recognize nasty people say nasty things. I think we agree on that. But when he says, you know, Jason Miller, oh, well, you know, we didn't want to service his group. The problem he brought up, he opened the door for Getter. The problem was he basically said Black Lives Matter, all banned. Critical race theorists, all banned. Modern progressives, all banned. All of these prominent left-wing personalities. What's that lady's name? Jamila Jamil or something? Yeah. Is she that actress woman?
Yeah, she was on.
She's banned.
Yeah, she's banned.
She posts a ton of racist stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If Getter wants to have that standard, then the crazy thing about this is the modern right in this country today is posting Martin Luther King Jr. quotes. They don't want people to be judged on the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. But if you come out like Miller did and say, we're not going to allow anyone who breaks that rule, it's like, okay, well, that means the modern Republican Party is going to be on the platform. The Democrats won't be.
Right. Nicholas J. Fuentes is the canary in the coal mine with censorship. I mean, this kid is 23 years old. He has a live stream from his parents' house, and he can't get on a plane because of his political opinion. He can't access, you know, he's probably just as banned as we are in terms of platforms. Now, of course, you can find him on Gab, unlike Getter. And, you know, Jason's answer is just totally unacceptable. You look at Getter's terms of service, and they ban hate speech, and they make these arbitrary decisions like banning Nick Fuentes and banning people like John Miller even, with no reason and no recourse and no adjudication. And then they claim to be a free speech platform. It's a joke.
I didn't like it when I asked him what, you know, Luke asked him what rule was broken specifically.
Well, the terms and service.
Right.
Because he has a list and a number. I was like, give me the list. Tell me exactly.
And he didn't have one.
He did clarify there's a difference between terms of service and community guidelines, which for me, there's not at Mines. For me, I base my community guidelines were the terms of service, but I understand how you could have two different things. At least that was his response. That's what I got from that.
What worried me the most was
community guidelines were violated. I don't know.
It sounded like they were just Twitter. But a little bit better.
Right.
A little bit better. And so there's still the inherent problem that the reason they banned Nick Fuentes is because the media said bad things about him.
Right.
Look, for all I know, what the media claims about him was true, for all I know. Mm. However, I don't really trust the media, so I'm not going to just blindly be like, oh, okay, you banned him because CNN wrote an article. I'm going to be like, you're going to have to show me some hard proof because the media doesn't have any credibility right now. He didn't have it. He couldn't give me a specific example. He couldn't give me there was not even a philosophical reason. It was just, you know, Fuentes said something about who are groypers here. And so then I asked him what a groyper was, and he didn't seem to know that either. And so my view is, if you're going to ban someone, stand by it, be proud of it, and not be able to explain what went wrong, how am I supposed to trust your platform?
You know, if he had come out and said, we banned him because we believed that Apple and Google would remove us from the stores if we had him on the platform, I would have respected that, right? But, you know, Jason is a political strategist. That's what he does. He's not a technologist. He doesn't know how to run a social media company. And frankly, he's in over his head. I think it's obvious after last night, right? You know, what these people are doing is they're really trying to subvert the work that I've been doing for 5.5 years and the work that we've been doing at Gab. And it's us versus the billionaires. So, you know, you have Miles Gao, who is the Chinese billionaire behind Getter. You have Peter Thiel, who's behind Rumble. And you have Rebecca Mercer and the Mercer family, who's behind Parler.
What about Mines?
They're
Aaron.
Yeah, that's
Aaron.
It.
Yeah, we got.
You guys are independent. You did crowdfunding as well.
We started from the beginning with nothing, and then John came in. Bill's dad is half owner of the company, and the three of us.
It's a family business, just like us. Yep, exactly.
Mines does have a big
Mines has taken investments in the past. We got a $10 million about 2 years ago from the dude that. I don't know how, is it all public information? I don't know if I can talk about the names and all that, but he basically built the games that Yahoo bought in like 2000 to create Yahoo Games.
Right.
So that guy came in. We had, the guy from Overstock.
He's previous owner, isn't he?
Coming with $6 million about 4 years ago. But that's, I think, other than that, it's just, we crowdfunded $1 million.
Yeah. That's what we did. We did regulation crowdfunding. So our users, a nice chunk of our users are actually stockholders in Gab. So they have a piece of the pie and they're our biggest advocates, right? And outside of that, we're funded by, you know, our Gab Pro subscriptions, merchandise, you know, stuff like this hat. And we now have advertisement, but you know, we're not tracking you creepily like Facebook and stuff.
Did you guys ever have any big funders coming your way and try to say, hey, we're going to give you this money if you do this? And are you willing or able to disclose the largest kind of funder? Is there one guy who's like a millionaire that gave you guys $1 million? You don't have to answer it, but I'm just curious.
I think our average investment was $1,000 for our regulation crowdfunding offerings. We did have a few bigger angel investors who, and by the way, all these people are users on the site, who put in, I think, maybe $100,000 or something as a part of that overall round of crowdfunding. But anybody was able to invest, I think, as low as $200. This was back in 2017, 2018. We have had people that have come to me and have tried to tempt me with money. Absolutely. I've had, big hedge fund guys and a lot of names that a lot of people would recognize if I said them. I'm not going to do that. But, essentially the deal was you have to start banning certain things and you have to start doing things a little bit differently. And we have to pivot on certain things. And I said, unacceptable. Unacceptable, because the thing that I'm not doing this for money. This is my life's work. I am doing this so that when my children get older, they have the ability to speak freely on the internet. I want to ensure that my kids have the same, and your kids, by the way, and your kids have the same freedoms that we all grew up with in this country. That is why I do what I do, period.
Was there ever one person that gave over $1 million? You don't have to disclose who they
are. No, there was never one person that gave over $1 million, no.
I want to tell you why you get those people coming to you making demands. I was thinking about this. I'm probably missing a few pieces of the puzzle, but 30 years ago, before the internet, before cell phones, and 50 years ago and beyond, radio, television, even newspapers allowed the powerful interests to homogenize morality and culture, society. So 30 years ago, you have a handful of TV channels and a growing influence around, cable was getting more popular since the 80s. But let's go back to the 70s, right? You have a handful of channels, maybe five? And so if these five channels decide a certain idea was unacceptable and they wouldn't put it on TV anymore, they wouldn't platform it, those ideas would start to die off. People would fall in line with whatever the mainstream opinion was because they want to fit in and don't want to be ostracized. With the rise of the internet, now subcultures that the establishment elites might not like are able to persist because they can build their own communities and survive outside of that ecosystem by finding like-minded individuals.
This actually happened in the 70s. It's called the Rural Purge, the Rural TV Purge, where there were all these shows like Green Acres and wholesome TV shows about rural life and rural living. Those were all purged all at once from all those major networks because they didn't want those ideas anymore. Right. They wanted people migrating to the cities where they can control them and atomize them like we're seeing our society become today.
So now, as the internet expands and different platforms emerge, control of social media, control of these websites, allows them to rehomogenize. Are you familiar with the dead internet theory?
No, what's this?
This is, it's actually a really scary story. And it's actually really simple. The idea is that the internet died a decade ago and that everything you're encountering now on the internet is bots. Most people don't post anything.
Right.
Most comments you see are algorithmic, are bots and manipulation. And the internet is actually not a free and open space. It's just a controlled.
I can talk about this big time. So this is called the 1% rule. So 1% of any given online community on the internet, whether that's Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever it is, Gab, 1% of people are creating content. 9% are engaging, meaning they're liking, they're commenting, they're sharing. 90% of people are passively consuming content, right? So that is where most of the social engineering that these platforms are doing is going on. The passive engagement, the passive people that are just scrolling the feed and looking at information, they want to decide what you're seeing in those feeds. And they are socially conditioning and socially engineering people to have the values that they want them to have, to vote the way that they want them to have. I was living and working in Silicon Valley and I saw this stuff firsthand. And I said, this has got to stop. Someone's got to do something about this. There has to be another way to do this. And that's what inspired me to do what I'm doing. Somebody had to do it and I was going to do it.
Real quick, the 1% rule is part of this, but dead internet theory is basically that we're all under the boot.
Right.
That there is no 1% anymore. That it used to be 1% we're producing everything and 99% we're watching. But now it's that when you go on Reddit and read a comment, it was made by a machine.
It's a bot. Yeah.
Yep.
That's ARPA and built the internet. That's government, military. It's military tech, the internet. So it's not too far out there.
And there's a lot of admitted government sock puppet accounts that are meant to, of course, have psychological warfare impact on the internet to push certain agendas out there. I've been speaking about this for so long. But specifically, the algorithms not only create, echo chambers, they can not only create emotions, but they shape belief systems.
Correct.
And that's why I wanted to ask you about your algorithm. Do you have an algorithm? I just signed up on Gab a few hours ago. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there. Who decides what's on there and what I see when I first go on there?
You do, right? So we have a chronological feed, right? And you decide who you're following, who you're blocking, who you're muting, all that stuff.
But I just started an account, and I'm not following anyone, and there's a news feed.
So we want to inject you with some content, so you automatically follow, like, our main Gab account and, like, our support account, and I think my account as well. And that's to, you know, because we want the feed to have some stuff in there when you first start. We're working on that, so we're working on the onboarding process where we're going to recommend you join certain groups and things like that. But once you're in there, you can unfollow those if you want and follow whoever you want, block whoever you want. But that's how it works. It's a chronological feed. There actually is no algorithm in that feed.
Yeah, as soon as I signed up, I was following three people. Gab, your account, and then there's this pharmaceutical salesman. His name's Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm also following him automatically.
You can unfollow them if you want. You
can. Can I ask you, why are we automatically following Donald J. Trump?
We just wanted content in the feed, and a lot of people are coming there because they know that we have all of his content mirrored there. That's all that is. But you can make the choice if you want to opt out of that, you can.
Okay. Why don't you?
We just didn't want a blank, empty feed, right?
Do you mirror Joe Biden?
I don't think so, no. We could, yeah.
Well, you should.
Yeah, we could, sure.
Because you know, one of the big
it's not mirroring, it's actually me manually posting his statements as he sends them out.
Well, there you go. One of the big criticisms that Twitter got was when they were in this congressional hearing, a Republican pointed out that when any person in D.C. signs up, they're defaulted to Democrats to follow.
Right, right.
So if Gab is just doing Trump,
sure. No, I understand that. Trump, yeah. I understand that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we want to work on the onboarding process to allow people to shape their entire experience. So we just came up with this new feature called Feeds, and it's going to allow you to create your own algorithm, actually. So you can sit down, you could say, I want to see a feed that shows these 50 people and these five groups that are on Gab. That's one of the features that we have is groups. And I want it to be sorted by top content from all those people and all those groups and this hashtag and this RSS feed from the past 24 hours. And that is my, you know, top 20, I don't know, my 24 hour top post political news feed, right? And people can subscribe to that algorithm. Other people can subscribe. You could share that publicly. That feed can be viewed by people who aren't members of Gab. So that is the big thing that we're going towards now, is just total customization, allowing you to create and shape your own experience versus us doing it for you.
I feel like if we federated networks, it would be the first time in human history that two giant social networks have federated. You said that you experimented with the Fediverse. You whipped up Mastodon code to create Gab. Explain, you guys used to have proprietary software, then something happened, and then now you're open source code. And then you said you had problems with the Fediverse. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so Gab is open source. You know, unlike Getter, unlike Rumble, and like all these other alternatives, our code is actually open source. So if you're an engineer, you can go and look at the code right now at code.gab.com. Right? So you don't have to believe what I'm saying when I say we're not censoring. You can actually go in and see how our moderation system works and all of that stuff, which, you know, Facebook can't say that. None of these other alternatives can say that, I think, with the exception of Minds, which is also open source, which is great. I mean, that's fantastic.
So
and we experimented with the Fediverse, and what we found is that it just does not work at scale. We were getting attacked from all these different servers that were really just bots. You know, we're talking about bot activity, right? And whatever we did, we just could not stop it. It was bogging down all of our infrastructure. It was like a DDoS attack from the Fediverse coming at us, right? So we disabled the Fediverse stuff and just kept using the backbone of the open source software and have built up from there.
When you were proprietary in the beginning, what happened? Why did you decide to change and open?
Well, you know, we wanted to work smart and not hard. The Mastodon open source code base allowed a richer feature set that we didn't have. We didn't have, you know, the team at the time to build out all these different features and all these ideas that we wanted to do. So we said, you know, we're going to take this to the next level and go open source with everything and go into the Fediverse. And we gave the Fediverse a real shot, but it just didn't work at our scale. Like, we were too big. Gab itself at the time was bigger than the entire Fediverse combined. Now forget it. It's like, you know, 20 times bigger than the entire Fediverse combined.
So I pulled up your terms of service, as we've done with the past CEOs.
Sure, sure.
And I got to say, some of this stuff is protected by the First Amendment, and
sure,
you do ban it.
Well, the founding fathers didn't have things like doxing. They didn't have things like spam, internet spam. Pornography is protected by the First Amendment technically, but I would say that the founding fathers would be appalled that is protected and that SCOTUS ruled that, because the founding fathers believed that our country and our rights and our liberties belong to a morally righteous people. And I don't think that they would defend that. And secondly,
well, that's an opinion.
It is. It's my opinion. Sure.
So, you know, I do think it's fair to point out, because we do have people asking about porn.
Sure.
Personally, I understand why you're like, look, you know, this is not something we want on our platform because it's very different from an expression platform, conversations, arguments, right. debates, ideas. But maybe the appropriate way to deal with it would be a filter as opposed to saying, even though it is protected, I don't think it's right.
Well, the problem is that people don't use the filter and then bots come on and spam the heck out of every comment section, every top post, every reply with porn. Are people going to use a site like that?
No.
Is porn being censored right now on the internet? You can go on Twitter. You can go on Twitter and your replies right now and probably find some porn, right?
Even like, though I think, doesn't the Google Play Store ban it?
Technically, I believe so.
But Twitter allows it.
Right.
And it's funny.
Well, the other thing too is I love people that claim that it's speech, right? The way to test this is go out to your town square, right? And start preaching the word of God and you'll be fine. Stump for a political candidate. You'll
honestly
be fine.
Take your pants off.
Try filming porn in the town square, right? Is that speech? Is that protected? Are you going to land up in jail?
Porn is actually an interesting one because I don't think it's as easy to say that it is protected. It is protected, but there's interesting questions about it because we still, I'm pretty sure every single person, maybe 99.9% of people in this country, if you went around naked, they would be upset with you for it.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Not in San Francisco.
Yeah, and you know, that's true too. But it's interesting. I would say, while my view of it is you're expressing your opinion on, you know, adult content, it's degrees of everything. You know, some people claim to be libertarian but still believe in borders. Some people say you're not a real libertarian because you there should be no borders, and they're both arguing they're libertarians. I think it's fair to say that on a scale of 1 to 100, you guys are 99% free speech.
Sure.
There may be an argument about what is First Amendment.
Well, we're 100% political speech, right? Yeah. Maybe we're 99% free expression.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever thought of imagery not as a form of speech. Putting a picture up is very different than expressing your opinions.
Sure, absolutely. Does it pass the Miller test? I mean, the Supreme Court gives us the Miller test for, you know, deciding what obscenity is. Does it have artistic value? Does it have scientific value? And I would argue that, you know, the porn that we're seeing is not artistic. It's not scientific. You know, these things are, you know, in the hands of 10-year-olds right now.
Some of it is, but it's like 1 out of 50.
I have a question just really quick. Who decides what's obscene? Who decides what's spam? Can you walk us through the process of what's happening here? And how do we know that the system won't be abused? So there's also some internet, content creators that you know have their bosoms out. Is that something that gets banned? Where's the oversight when it comes to getting rid of banning people and censoring people?
Yeah, so if you look at our terms of services, it actually says if it has artistic or medical value, then it's not going to be considered obscene. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, human beings have to make these decisions, right? And they're hard. I mean, even the Supreme Court, when they were pressed with this same exact topic, you know, Justice Potter Stewart, I believe, said, "You know it when you see it." Right. That was the Supreme Court's official response to this. Right. So this ultimately at the end of the day is decided by real human beings. And, you know, are we going to make mistakes? Is there going to be false positives? Absolutely. But we do our best every day. And the big thing that makes us different is that 98% of the moderation on the site is done by the site's users itself. So we have these group systems, right? You can create a group and the users create those groups and they moderate those groups. So they're deciding, is this obscene for my group or is it not? You know, most of the time we're not dealing with that stuff. The users are dealing with it before it even gets to us. Where our team comes in is with illegal activity. And that is where, you know, we will actually take action. If, you know, people are, you know, posting child pornography, for example, we have to legally report that and morally report that to law enforcement and get it off the site immediately. That's the type of stuff where we take action. This other stuff, this day-to-day type stuff on individual use case stuff, we leave that up to our users. If you don't like what someone's saying, if it offends you, unfollow them, block them. You're an adult, right?
Several people are saying that porn actually is not protected speech.
And yeah, it's not speech, first of all. It's not speech.
But it's not, I don't think it's protected under...
I don't think it is either. I think the law's just not being enforced. I think that the pornography that we see on the internet today would absolutely fail the Miller test, and it's detestable that our society is not doing something about it.
What about Ethos with Bazunka's out?
Wait, what?
Ethos with Bazunka's out. Because there's like, I mean, women...
They're not nude, right?
Like if you go to Twitch, right? There's a lot of women gaming the system that way.
Right, they're just like showing their cleavage or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just asking because this is a question...
That's not pornographic, no.
Okay,
no.
So that's allowed on Cap.
Yeah. So I want to point out, in the content standards section, it is unique in that when we had Rumble on, I believe we were looking at the wrong terms, but their terms were very similar to what we see in Silicon Valley.
Sure.
Getters, same thing.
Same thing.
Hateful, you know, content or whatever. Your guys' content standards, Gab's content standards specifically says that if it's protected political, religious, symbolic, or commercial speech under the First Amendment of the Constitution, it will be allowed on the website. But then it also says there are some exceptions. It can't be unlawful, we get. You can't unlawfully threaten, of course, it's not protected. Imminent incitement, not protected. Interfere with the operation of a computer, of course, that's not protected. Being obscene, explicit, pornographic, I think we've just discussed that. Infringing on someone's patent, trademark, trade secret, copyright is a civil tort, I believe, but not protected. You get sued for that, right. No penalties. Violate the legal rights of another, we understand. Impersonating someone. Now, is that protected speech? If you dressed up like Donald Trump and went out in the street and told people you were him.
See, that's a parody though, right? It's protected.
No. I mean, like, if someone literally pretended, like, you ever see that video where the guy pretends to be Joel Osteen?
No, I don't
And think he actually
so.
Sneaks in. He's walking around and everyone's shaking his hand because he looks like him. I'm wondering if that wouldn't be fraud because you're not taking someone from something from someone.
It's malicious. It depends on the intent, right? Is it malicious intent? Is someone pretending to be Donald Trump and raise money, you know, under his name, right? That it really depends on intent. And our policy with that is if
it literally says for purpose not protected by the First Amendment.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. Then you've got commercial activities related to finance, which is also a legal barrier.
Fraud type stuff. Yep.
And also people need to realize this too. You can't even promote some financial services legally. So right. It's not protected.
Correct.
Give the impression they emanate from or are endorsed by you. That I understand.
Right. We got to protect our brand.
Yeah. That would be. I guess if someone says civil tort in the same sense as
Andrew Torba promotes this site or something, right? When I didn't,
and linking to any content of the above categories. I mean, it seems like for the most part, you're basically just outlining what already is not protected by the First Amendment. Anyway.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And we are the only, you know, aside from Minds, I haven't seen their TOS in a while.
Super similar.
But just really quick, when you said in moderation, there's sometimes mistakes made. Is there any mistake that you could tell us that you guys reversed that was a problem from your moderation team that you guys knew you guys made a mistake on and fixed?
Yeah. So there was a post actually from Chris Langan, who is the highest IQ person in the world, who is on Gab. And one of our moderators, removed one of his posts, and we had reviewed that. It was escalated to our team and to our legal team, and our legal team is filled with First Amendment lawyers who know this stuff inside and out. They helped us write this, right? They've been with us for many years, and we reviewed that, and we turned over that decision. So when, you know, again, it's human beings. We're human beings. So when we make a mistake, we will fix it, and we will undo that, and I apologize to the community for that. It's very rare. That happens, but that happened a few months ago, and I personally apologized to Chris for that, and we undid it.
Yeah, redemption, I think, is also very important.
Correct.
And that's why some people, we were asking the person yesterday, is there a possibility for the people who were censored, a possibility of redemption or an ability to come back? Is that something also possible on Gab?
That is actually in our terms of service, where we say if you take this to a competent court and you believe that this was protected by the First Amendment, then we will reinstate you. And I think that's unique. I don't think we're the only ones that have that.
What if someone gets banned with an account for violating it and then they spin up a new account?
I mean, it's really difficult for us to know that it's going to be them, but honestly, if they're, as long as they're going to learn their lesson and not, you know, do whatever they did again, I'm okay with them starting fresh. I don't think that's a problem.
Ian talks about this. I think it's a good idea too. He says ban the account, not the person.
Correct. No, so when we're moderating too, you know, our moderation focuses on the individual post. I think it's absurd that we, you know, ban an entire account for one post. A lot of times people have a bad day. Right. And they posted something that maybe they shouldn't have. They were threatening someone or something, and they're taking their rage out on somebody on the internet. Right.
Is it surprising at all that these authoritarian, despotic big tech companies would give you a life sentence for one infraction?
Right.
You
know? And no appeal and no redemption. And, you know, as a Christian, that is a whole part of Christianity is redemption. Right. And that is something that I definitely believe in. And I think that, you know, when we're moderating again, it's at the individual post level, you know, and also are we seeing a behavior? Right. So if someone has been doing this now, if they've been making threats of violence, inciting violence for, you know, 6 months, well, at a certain point, we have to take additional steps, right? And even then, we give them the benefit of the doubt. We try to talk with them. We give them warnings and stuff. But at a certain point, if they're sitting there and they're, you know, threatening people all day long and they've been warned, you know, a dozen times for months, over a period of months, at a certain time, we have to take additional action, right? To make a point known. Otherwise, you know, they're going to run wild and keep doing it.
I got Minds as kind of policy, and it's similar. It doesn't outline it the same way that you guys do, but it's very similar. It has to be to get banned. It has to be illegal content, malware, token manipulation, impersonation. I definitely think Minds needs to clarify what impersonation is because parody is allowed.
Right.
Yes.
But for the most part, this is interesting too. Minds has two different categories for strikes. One is if you're posting gore or porn, you have to flag it as not safe for work by yourself. Otherwise, your whole channel will be flagged permanently as not safe for work.
Yeah, I did that. I think that was one of my ideas.
That's a good idea.
That was a group of us came up with that idea.
Yeah. And then harassment and spam, you'll get banned for. But that specifically says spam is repeated, unwanted, and or unsolicited actions, automated or manual, negatively impacting groups. Spam is spam. We get that. Mine says pretty lax rules for the most part. But the interesting thing is the jury system. And then they show you actions taken.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. You know,
it's got a lot of potential.
No hate? Did you control F hate?
Let's see what they say about hate speech.
Absolutely.
I hate that word. That's why I think Zero. I kept it out
nice.
Of there. Yeah.
The word hate does not appear on mine.
What I don't like is the ability to ban anyone at any time. That every lawyer is like, you got to put that in there. Just do it. And like, no. But it's like, I can't say no. It wasn't my company.
Well, do you guys say that you reserve the right to ban anyone at any time?
I'm not sure if we have that in there or not.
I don't know what you would
look
for.
We will ban this, but not limited to, and then it gives you a list. You're like, what does that mean, not limited to? Does that mean you can ban anything?
Right.
Well, legally, yes.
I don't know. I'd have to read through it all the way through. Most companies just include it because you could be sued if you don't.
Right.
And you could, and it could be a ridiculous claim.
Right.
But maybe it's the right thing to do, to be like, as you enter into this contract to produce content on this platform, you know, we as a company, as you know, company recognize it'll be generating revenue for us through the work you do, and thus you have certain rights on the platform.
I think that the network should be able to ban anyone at any time personally, but that's why I'm into the federated process and decentralization of content and I guess you would call it like services, decentralized services. So like no centralized login, the data is not held on one server where the king can shut it all down tomorrow. But I think the king should be able to shut his server down, his node, and block out anyone from his node. That's why I'm aiming towards, like, individual liberty on a decentralized mass scale, kind of like the United States where you have sovereignty of your household.
So we kind of do that with groups right now, right? So they have full control over who gets to join the group, who gets to post in the group, what's allowed in the group. We don't control any of that. They set the rules. If they run a cats group, which there is a cats group on Gab, and someone is posting dogs in there, right?
How dare they?
The ultimate sin. You know, well, obviously they're going to remove that, and they're probably going to kick that person from the group, but it doesn't mean that the person is kicked off of Gab. They're just going to have to go post in, you know, the dog group.
I would do that. In the cat group,
he's not a big cat guy.
I don't like cats. But another thing is that I really wanted to ask you, are you guys making any moves to prevent an echo chamber on your platform? Because some people are saying it's only with this particular viewpoint on your platform that dominates. Are there any efforts by you guys to try to reach out to other people to bring them on to kind of broaden the perspective and conversation?
Well, this is happening naturally right now. And actually, there have been academic studies on this that show that Gab is not an echo chamber specifically because we are not censoring based on arbitrary political viewpoints. We have a chronological feed and we allow people to shape and create their own experience. So they're exposed to a lot of different things that, they might not see on other platforms. What we're also seeing is this, as I said, this is happening naturally. So, you know, people who are, you know, not wanting to get vaccinated, right, are coming over to Gab. We're seeing medical doctors and stuff, and it's not even political at all. By the way, we have tens of thousands of groups that have nothing to do with politics. You know, there's people that come on Gab to post about classic cars, which is one of my favorite groups. There's people that come on Gab to talk about arts and crafts and homeschooling and faith and all these different topics that are talked about and these niche communities that are forming through our group system. So, you know, there's anything but an echo chamber. The experience is what you make of it. If you want to create an echo chamber on Gab with your account, you can do that. But if you want to, you know, be exposed to a lot of different ideas, you can also do that too. So we want to leave it in your hands.
I got
to
know about Dissenter.
I like that.
I want to touch on Dissenter. It's a browser that you guys built, and it's a fork of the Brave browser.
Mm-hmm.
And it, basically what I got from it, I've only used it once. And I remember I went to a website, and I believe it was made so that you could comment on websites maybe that you were banned from.
Right.
So like if Nick Fuentes or anybody wanted to go to Twitter and comment on the Twitter post, they could comment in the Dissenter browser.
That,
so anyone else
is amazing.
That's
awesome.
So
this is Gab Trends, which you have right here. So anybody can go to trends.gab.com, enter in any URL of any news article, and leave a comment on it. And the news article, the news outlet can do nothing to stop you.
Is this Dissenter? Is that Dissenter?
That is part of Dissenter, yes. Yeah. So the browser itself has this baked in as an extension, and unfortunately we've had to depreciate Dissenter because we didn't have the resources or the time to upkeep it, but I think we're going to bring it back in the future.
I think that's a great idea. It is, yeah. Yeah. Even with Fediverse software, if that could be our main browser function to be able to comment on other places you go.
It's epic. It's like putting an entire layer on top of the internet that the other sites can't do anything about.
Why couldn't you guys maintain it? What happened?
Well, it's maintaining a browser is a lot of work. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
But what about just the extension?
The extension, yeah. So it lives now. The problem with the extension is the extension got banned just like everything else from the extension app stores on Google and browser. Firefox. So that's why we needed our own browser in the first place.
Wow.
And the browser is very difficult to maintain. So this concept, this idea lives on GabTrends.
Is it proprietary? I couldn't find the code.
This is, yeah, I think we open sourced the extensions,
if you could open it, we'll start working on it.
Really?
Yeah.
The browser, I believe, is open. I think we have a repo for that. Yeah. The extension, I think, is as well, but Trends isn't. This is proprietary.
I remember a few years ago, media organizations used to have comments on almost every single news story, and you were able to get in there, get people's perspective, get people's thoughts, and then slowly and surely, every media organization just stopped it.
Yep.
Dead internet theory, bro.
Yeah, and then everybody moved to Twitter and everything else, and then they shut that down.
Yeah. And it was so disappointing, and slowly and surely, now we're in this kind of place where they only have the algorithm of what they want you to see.
Correct.
So I appreciate, the effort to fight against everyone stopping you, everyone standing in your way, and I think we definitely need more of things like Dissenter where voices of people could still come back.
What do you think people watching would do if they realized we were all AI generated? There's no real show here. It's just like some fat guy in a room with a computer.
I'm a real human being.
6% of them would keep watching and not even bat an eye.
Yeah, they'd be like, well, whatever, it's fun.
I believe everything at face value.
No, we're real human beings, unfortunately.
I think
although
so.
Although Ian would probably appreciate
it. I'm a crystal.
That's what makes us different. That's what makes us different than, the regime is, their vision is for transhumanism. So they want to ascend humanity. They want to ascend beyond humanity and become gods. And they want the rest of us plugged into the metaverse where they control and dominate us for all eternity. That is their vision for the future.
So when are you going to make your own metaverse? You're building everything else.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the metaverse. I wrote a blog post about this and, from the Christian point of view. And I feel like we're going to need Christian missionaries to go into the metaverse to pull people out back to reality, right?
It's digital heroin den.
Yes,
literally.
You should make a virtual world app where it's like the Gab metaverse and everyone's a frog person. And just be like, this is our version of reality.
If we could layer Dissenter into the metaverse experience, you could have like a meta layer.
Whoa, resistance, bro.
Yeah.
That's a good. So the challenge is, they nuke you, they ban you. But when people are in that metaverse, there's a reason why they got rid of comments. There's a reason why Dissenter was so dangerous.
Right.
If you could get a message layer to people who are in the system that gives them it's like a communication. It's like in the Matrix when they call the operator in the ship. That's what it would be like. Someone on the outside telling you what's going on.
Right, right.
Whoa. Just can't allow that, man.
Yeah, I think they just want for dinner.
I gotta be honest. There's something exciting about the metaverse happening.
It's a form
then
of enslavement.
We can be like in the Matrix and we can be, the heroes fighting to free people, which I guess we're kind of doing already.
I like the idea of being able to do like 80 calculations at once and like play 90 games at once because it's going to help us evolve the way our minds think when we're controlling computers with our brains without the finger interface. That's
Ian,
cool.
The computers are going to be controlling you.
Uh-oh. Right.
Is it already? It might already be controlling me. I'm here on a TV show, It's like controlling me to be here.
Yep.
We could be controlled by the AI and all that stuff already and not even realize it.
No, we are through the feeds. That's what they're doing. And Facebook has admitted to this, by the way. They've admitted to socially engineering their user base. Absolutely.
We talk about this on the show all
the
time.
Yeah, this is happening right now. You open up your Facebook and you scroll your feed and you are being socially engineered, whether you realize it or not.
Even the frequency that the TV is blaring at you.
Correct.
That's got to be brainwashing.
And the hertz of music as well.
The reason what do you think they call it? TV programming.
Yep.
They are programming your mind. It's the same thing happening with the feeds as well.
Well, that's not why I like the meme.
But it is.
But it's called that because it was like a program. Like
I don't know my TV history.
TV history was basically just like the program didn't mean like they were programming like a computer because, computers weren't prominent enough. It was literally just like the list of shows they had.
It fits.
Or that they had telegrams. But it does fit. They would send you a telegram. Then they had a
program. The word's probably been around longer.
So, right. So if I could ask you, just getting back on course here, what's stopping you guys from growing and expanding? Where do you guys want to go, and what's standing in your way from achieving that?
So, you know, I think our mission right now is to protect and preserve free speech on the internet and to survive. That's it. Survive and thrive. Gab is inevitable. As long as we can continue to exist, it's inevitable that people will, you know, go to these other platforms and find out the hard way that it's not what it's, you know, being sold out to be. And then they inevitably come over to Gab. So we see things like Getter pop up. Like when Parler popped up, we saw a huge amount of growth. And then they got taken out because they're hosted on Amazon servers and they're dependent on app stores. And that is when we got a huge surge. The same thing is going to happen with all these other guys. They think that if they ban hate speech and they bend the knee and they ban political dissidents like Nick Fuentes, that, you know, Apple and Google are going to be benevolent to them and they're going to let them exist. But what they don't realize is that they're built on Silicon Valley infrastructure and trying to take on Silicon Valley. Okay. You cannot take on Silicon Valley built on Silicon Valley infrastructure. It is a matter of time. The second that Getter or Truth Social or whoever it is gets big enough, they're going to pull the rug out, and their excuse could be whatever. It could be medical misinformation. It could be election misinformation. It could be protecting our democracy, right? Take your pick. They can ban you for no reason because Bezos wakes up and decides, I don't want to host Parler anymore. One click. Goodbye. That's what happened to Parler. That's what happened to us, and that's why we built our own infrastructure.
Didn't they go for your domain?
Everything, yes. GoDaddy banned us, yes. And wow. Thanks to epic.com, E-P-I-K.com, who is our domain registrar, the free speech domain registrar, that is what allows us to have a domain registrar.
There are these really angry people. They're mad that Dan Bongino uses all, like, I guess what you'd call right-wing infrastructure, which is a weird way to frame it. Let's just call it resistance. Mass formation rebellion infrastructure. And they can't shut them down because they contact their friends in Silicon Valley and they just say, sorry, they're not using our infrastructure. Mm. What?
Hot. Well, as far as I know, hot Rumble and some of these other things. Are you talking about his show? Is that
something? I was reading that there was a complaint from one of these left-wing publications that because he uses, you know, infrastructure outside of Silicon Valley, they can't get him banned.
That's the only way to do it. That's the only way to do it. I mean, you cannot be built on this infrastructure and then go out there and say, we're going to take down Jason Miller. We're going to go out there and take down big tech. And meanwhile, our servers are hosted by Amazon guys.
I think of it as a blob, like the big tech is a blob. And then if you're trying to build a blob to counteract the blob will consume you and become correct. A larger blob.
Right.
Got to get out of that proprietary.
The second that you become a threat to their hegemony, they will take you out with one click. And it's over. So to the content creators out there who are saying, well, why should I join Getter or why should I join Gab? It's real simple. You know, you're investing in a big tech owned and controlled infrastructure, or are you investing in an infrastructure that is wholly owned by Gab that is attacked and deplatformed more than any of these other players in the space and has not only survived it, but has thrived through it and has become more resilient, the most resilient platform on the internet today to defend free speech. Period.
Parallel economies.
Man. Has Tim talked to you about the charity we started called Open Network Foundation? We're building like a Fediverse package that's able to be federated. I'm fascinated with federating networks.
Yes.
And what I'd like to do is basically you download an application, you run it, you install it, and then you can start uploading videos to a server of your choice. Rumble, a personal server, YouTube.
Well, the idea is
people, yeah, a monthly
so that
fee.
Someone could have their own version of Patreon, Facebook, or whatever.
Right, right.
So you get your own server space. You download the package. We're going to make it. We're going to give it away for free. You install it. You tell people, hey, go to my website. It's, you know, timcast.com. And when they go there, they see a social media feed. It's connected to the network of all the other websites that use that service, but it's all hosted by you. That means you got to pay for it, but you also have the option to plug in and have people pay memberships,
right,
just like any other subscription service. And then if I go on Ian's website, I can go to the search and I can type in, like, you know, I'm looking for a person, and I can find my website and you can
right.
follow it.
Yes, it's federated. Right.
So
Timcast at Gab, and then I can go view his Gab feed on my application and you can still get log the views and the activity.
Right.
You're making me think read only is the way to go because I don't want to get hit with spam comments.
Yes, yes.
Maybe there's a way to do like an amalgamated read only with some limited outgoing function from that, but it could just be a read-only package at that
right,
point.
Right. So first of all, I love that you guys are building, right? You're not just complaining about the problem. You're out there building, which is what I've been doing for 5.5 years. And I think this is speaking to something that I've also been talking about, which is the balkanization of social media and the fragmentation of social media. So we saw the consolidation where Facebook's buying up Instagram and WhatsApp and all of the players in the space. That is over. There is no more there's nothing more to consolidate. So now it's fragmenting and it's balkanizing into communities that share values. And our little community on the internet is going to be the community that defends First Amendment protected speech at all costs.
You know, I would say I think it is still, what was the word you used, balkanizing, and then the other word of it coming together? Like
fragmentation, consolidation.
Consolidation. Yeah. Microsoft bought Blizzard
right
a couple days ago for $68 billion, the
billion?
Largest
yep.
billion dollars, crazy. $68.7 billion, the largest corporate consummation I've ever seen in my life that I know of, entertainment corporate consolidation. So I think they're going to start going after the movie industry. They're going to buy Paramount. They're going to buy Microsoft might end up doing it and try and consolidate all the video game industry and all the movie industry and then create the metaverse of the movie, TV, video game experience where you're the main character. And it's a different movie every time you play.
You see Facebook going all in on this. You see Microsoft going all in on this. You see Disney is also going all in on the metaverse. I want no part of it. I want to live in the real world. I want to empower people. What we're building is about empowering people to speak freely and to get access to information that they can't get anywhere else. And after that, I want them to go out and live their lives with their families. I don't care if they're sitting on my website all day. I don't want them sitting on my website all day. I want to empower them to speak their mind freely to other people and to communicate with other people and to get access to information. That's my mission.
It's going to be the year 2273. A hovercraft is going to pull a guy out of a matrix pod and he's going to be like, why do my eyes hurt? And then, you know, someone's going to go, because you've never used them. And then they're going to go in the ship and they're going to be going through the tunnels and then the door is going to open up and there's going to be these crazy underground buildings and then the guy's going to be like, where are we? This is Gab. The last free city on Earth.
You know who the person is they're going to pull out of the pod?
It's funny.
Not me.
Tim. You're still alive because they kept you alive in that pod for 200 years.
Just like Neo in the Matrix.
I will not live in the pod. And it's funny you bring up Gab Cities because this is a concept I just talked about. I think that this is a very real possibility that we could see Gabbers start to form their own cities. You know, maybe what's stopping a Gabber from buying some land out in Montana or Wyoming and creating a Gab City?
We're starting with Freedomistan. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's actually just a very big acreage property we're going to be building on. We're going to be putting the show there. But we're going to be expanding and setting up a bunch of different stuff there. But one of the things we discussed was setting up production facilities in an old kind of dying town in West Virginia where they'll have like 15 buildings in a small area that used to be a small town and people are moving out. The buildings are falling apart. So we come in, we buy one, we fix one up, and we expand, and eventually it's like a city of people who share values and are working towards these similar goals.
Right.
So it would be like a production city. Mm-hmm. It would be like a podcast town.
You can create an entire parallel economy in that town. I mean, this is a concept that I've been talking about for...
We make Luke Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Made of gold foil.
Nice. You can eat them.
Luke, bullets. No, Ian.
I want edible currency.
Ian ends up creating his own Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
His own local Freedomistan Reserve and controls all currency and he's rich.
Well, it would be like in an account that I wouldn't have access to and it would just slowly give out tokens to people that utilize the system. Kind of like a reward setup.
Right.
Maybe. That's a very early way to look at it.
You have to barter and buy everything with bullets. That sounds great.
That should be the currency in Fallout.
Actually,
we were talking about
that as a joke that like, a guy walked into the store and he's like, you know, I'll get a roast beef on rye with Swiss. Okay, that'll be 150 BMG and 2.762s. Do you have change for 250 BMG? Yeah, we do. And they pull some 9mm.
We should literally do that. I have one more question that I'm really curious about. You only get to pick one. Ron Paul, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump.
Ron Paul.
Okay. Wow. That's
I love you, Ron.
But come on, man. Nobody.
If I only had to pick one.
Yeah. Ron Paul is of course, like there's no question.
Well, you never know. You know, some people have a different.
Well, limit. Yeah, I mean, you know, you get the Trump people, and they're like Trump, of course.
Exactly.
Like, what did Ron Paul say on his way out? That they were psychopathic authoritarians or something?
That was like a den of vipers. His last speech was absolutely brilliant on the House floor, and should definitely be watched. They called him Dr. No, and he absolutely did. A lot of not governing, which was awesome.
We gotta get Ron on Rogan and get him hooked up with these doctors to get the life extension like David Sinclair at Harvard. I want Ron to be around for their 50
years. Ron would want to do that.
Ron, do it. You gotta make the sacrifice. It's not about what you want.
He takes some NAD. He looks 10 years younger.
Yes,
so look, I like Rand Paul. He's cool too. But how come Rand isn't as cool as Ron Paul?
Dude, Ron Paul. It's Ron Paul. I mean, why the father of our nation?
Listen, anybody that wants to say end the Fed or audit the Fed is going to get my vote, right?
Does Rand advocate for that stuff?
I'm not sure.
He does for the audit. He proposed a couple bills in the Senate saying we need to audit the Federal Reserve. Bernie Sanders supported it initially and then dropped off last minute. There was a chance that it was going to pass in the House and in the Senate. And then last minute, like major players just fell out.
Man, that's sad. I like Rand Paul, man. He stands up for what he believes in. He pushes back. You know, we're lucky to have him. Ron was a legend, though. It's too bad Bernie caved. You know, he was supposed to be the populist insurgent for the left, and he didn't do it. He, like, got halfway there and was like, I guess I'll just lick Hillary's boots. And then he did.
So weird.
Yeah,
it was very weird. Where the bird landed on his podium. And, like, that's not a coincidence. That's magnetic, man. Birds attuned to magnetic. They felt his energy. He should have been president. I was so into that. Why did he cave? Obviously, it's conspiracy town now, but, like, you think he got threatened?
No. I think he got $1 million from his book. I think, you know, when he started his campaign, he wasn't expecting it to get as big as it did. He started making money. And I tell you this, some people, when they make money, they get that whisper in their ear from that devil on their shoulder saying, you deserve it. It's yours. These people are too stupid. They don't deserve it. And Bernie's like, yeah, you're right. I fucked my whole life for this. I deserve 4 houses. Or how many houses does he have? He has 3 houses.
Let's find out.
My opinion of him is that as he started getting more and more famous, he started getting people whispering in his ears, and he was like,
I've dealt with this. Yeah. No, I've dealt with this. I've had people come to me with large sums of money, large offers. What they found out is that I'm not doing this for money. It's not about money. I can't be bought, number one. Then they tried to use fear. And what they found out is that I only fear God. I don't fear them. And now, at this point, you know, their only thing left at this point is to continue with the smears or to just pretend I don't exist, right? So that's why you're not going to see me on, you know, Fox News or any of the major players, is because they don't want to give me the airtime to speak my mind and talk about these things.
When you say you're not doing it for the money, I believe you, dude. And it's not about you. I can't trust you. I believe you because you freed the software code of Gab.
Right. Right.
Ian, he finally got what he wanted. A tech CEO was like, I freed the code, Ian.
It was mind-blowing. Tim was telling me that you guys started using the Mastodon code in like February of 2020 or something. It was just mind-blowing.
It was July 2019, yeah.
That was such a good move.
It was a big move.
It's bigger than us.
It was a hard move, man. It was definitely a hard move. And, you know, it's something that, you know, Facebook, can you see Facebook's code? No.
That'd be so awesome.
Right? Like, come on. You have no idea how their algorithms work.
There's probably like
probably some real good stuff in there. Yeah,
people don't realize. They think it's really simple. Like a box appears and says, "Here's a picture of a dog." It could actually have things in it like person IQ level deemed 70 moron. Feed them trash, and you'd be like, "That's what they're saying about me." Yeah, they were experimenting on people.
Well, this is a thing that I don't like about, you know, Getter and stuff too, is if you look at their code, if you look at, you know, the website, they actually have Facebook and Google pixels that are tracking you. So you're literally, you know, you think I'm leaving Facebook, I'm going over to this alternative, and like you're still being tracked by Facebook over there.
Yeah, if you have Google ads on your website, you're getting tracked by Google, all your users are getting tracked by Google.
Do you know how hard it was for us to build and maintain Gab without using things like Google Analytics? Because we didn't want our users tracked by Google. So we had to build all of that stuff, and they make this stuff free on purpose so that they can get the data. We didn't want to give Google or Facebook or any, we didn't care if it was free, we didn't care if it made our lives easier, we didn't care if it made our road harder, and we had to go build our own Google Analytics and all this stuff. We did it, and you can actually verify this yourself and go and look.
Now hold on a minute. Facebook knows when you poop, and that's a very important bit of data for their operation. So you're saying that Gab doesn't know when its users are going to the bathroom?
We track the least amount of data possible. So we require like an email to sign up. You can actually look at this. If you have ad blockers and stuff, you'll see there's nothing on the site, right? So we don't care about that stuff. What we care is about empowering people to speak freely. We don't care about tracking their every click and every move.
Well, how about we go to Super Chats? My friends, if you have not already, get those Super Chat questions in. Smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, share this show with all of your friends. It really helps because we don't have a marketing budget. We just rely on word of mouth. But don't forget, go to timcast.com, become a member, and at around 11 or so p.m., we will have a members-only, uncensored, not family-friendly version of the show available for all of you. So let's read what people have to say. The first one we have is, thank God for Gab. And there is a fist and a smiley face. Well, all right, there you go. Then we got a nice $100 super chat. Appreciate that. So people are really getting excited.
Shout out to Mastodon too for laying the groundwork.
Absolutely.
That. As much as they're not happy.
No, they hate us. Yeah. But that's what open source code is about. Right?
Wasn't it weird though? I remember the point of open source code was to empower everyone, and then right. When they actually empowered you, they're like, "No, wait, not you."
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing for me because you know I used to hang out in the hacker community way back then, especially during Occupy. And all of those people were like, everyone should have the ability to speak. And they were all about free speech for everyone. All of a sudden, these same people are now like, no, we've changed our mind. We don't want free speech, but we're going to make free speech software. What happened to you dudes? People lost their minds. There were a bunch of, I'll tell you this, man. They were all lefty. A bunch of my hacker friends, lefties, you know, with Anonymous and these other groups that were fighting and protesting. And then in, you know, 2017, 2018, 2019, with all the Trump stuff happening, I see a lot of people just towing the line, But a few people I know who are still lefty were just like overtly screw them. I'm not changing my positions, and now they're being called right wing. But it's obvious it happens to all of us. All right, RWS says thank you for guests without handlers. All right, there you go. Greg Herbold says, Tim, I have a 7-year-old godson that can't stop talking about skateboarding. Do you have a suggestion for a brand that would be a good starter board for him? Love the work all of you guys do. Starter board? I don't know. I ride 8.5 by 32, and I like using Antihere as my favorite brand. But I don't know if they still have the termite boards that, you know, for a 7-year-old, they're a lot smaller. But maybe he's just going to have to start riding a regular board. I guess if you're not going to go with any, like, smaller size boards, you can try and find a 7.5. I like Antihero. I don't know if Antihero makes 7.5 because they're, like, pool boards. But that or Real. R-E-A-L skateboards. That's the name of the company. Those are my favorites.
Oh, it looks like Bernie has three houses.
I was an Element guy myself.
Element?
Yeah.
Element's pretty good, actually, surprisingly. A lot of people thought it was corporate, but they're pretty good. My issue was that I was broken. I found them to be brittle. Yeah. So I only had a couple, and I did a kickflip off a gap and cracked it. And Antihero, man, never done me wrong. But I ride big boards for someone who doesn't skate vert. It's kind of funny. Or transition for the most part. All right, let's see what we got. Let's try and find some good questions, because there's a lot of ones that are, you know, kind of dumb, as it can be.
I have a question.
Free Men Die Free says, it isn't right versus left, it's libertarian versus authoritarian. The truth is a libertarian bias. Free markets, private property, individual liberty. Yes, because in order to maintain authoritarian systems, you have to lie to people. So that's really what it is. The people who believe the truth are people who are free, and the people who believe the lies are being enslaved.
I would say it's not even authoritarian versus libertarian. It's more that authoritarians and libertarians are living together, and we have to figure out how to live together. That mind, those mindsets exist, and they will always exist. It's two sides of a coin.
Yin and yang. All right. Chris Keeper says, Andrew, I'm a software engineer. Are you hiring? Do you accept free labor? How can I help? I love what you are doing. Tim, keep up the fantastic work. Thanks.
We're not hiring at the moment. We just hired a bunch of people, but I'm sure we'll be hiring later this year. So reach out to me on Gab.
Can people work on the source code from the distance?
They can, but we don't make that easy right now just because it complicates and distracts our processes. So we don't really do that too much, but it is possible. I mean, they could download the source and play around with it, sure.
All right. Micah says, have you read the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman? It details modern American imperialism through issuance of loans, written by John Perkins.
Amazing book. I read that book in high school, and it totally gave me perspective how the intelligence agencies work behind the scenes for the greater benefit of the corporations that truly do run things behind the scenes.
Dingus asks a question about adult content. I do feel like we answered it, but maybe we'll just go through it just to honor the question. He says, my question for Mr. Torba, why does he have the same position on porn as the Australian government? Porn in Australia is illegal and must be viewed on international servers. If it doesn't qualify as expression, can or should it be banned by governments?
So I don't think you'll ever be able to fully ban porn, but I believe that we should have some sort of check and balance to prevent 10-year-old kids from accessing this stuff. I don't think that's unreasonable.
I agree.
10-year-old kids can't walk into a porn shop in real life, but they can open up their device. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, but push it off to the parents. It's the parents' fault. They should be doing better parenting. I mean, most of the time, those people aren't parents, right? And they don't understand the reality of parenting. The reality of parenting is that every single one of your kids' friends has these on them 24/7 and can instantly, in a click, get access to this stuff. And I don't think that's okay.
And it destroys their minds.
It does.
It destroys their future and destroys their potential to have relationships. And
correct.
It's absolutely one of the most destructive things out there in society.
But it's it's the bad porn. And I know it's
No, I'm serious.
It's the bad sex. Porn, all sex is not dangerous
pornography. Let's not get into all
that
stuff.
Down a rabbit hole
and
with that.
And kids need sex.
Yeah. We'll okay. You want to talk about the numbers?
Thanks,
you want to get not family friendly? We try to keep it family friendly.
Yeah.
So that's why I like to say adult content, but I don't want you getting into
details. And
then
I'm a hairy beast. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm the wild animal. I'm looking at a gorilla.
But policy-wise, instead of getting into details on what kids should be watching specifically in terms of what that is, I'm all about people's right to watch and do all that stuff. But we have regulations. I'm not an anarchist. I lean very libertarian. But when it comes to kids, I get a little more like, hey, come on, let's have some rules. Let's like if you want to buy booze or something, we don't sell those to kids. You don't sell drugs to kids. Adult content shouldn't be available to kids.
It feels like the whole sending your kids off to learn is a new thing. Like the 150 years old, you send them to public school and then they come back and they're an adult. Like, it was the parents' job to teach the kid for millennia.
And we're seeing a transition back to that now. Yeah, homeschooling is big time on the rise, and for good reason.
All right, we got Elliot Harris says, you should have Matt Walsh and Vosh on. They reacted to each other's videos, and Vosh said Matt would be interesting to talk to. Yeah, I would love to host that. One of the challenges is that Vosh is one of the only people on the left willing to come on and have debates. And so we've had him on, how many times? Twice, right?
Twice, yeah.
Once, and then he was on with debating Charlie Kirk. And so whenever we have someone who's interested, you know, we've reached out to many people on the left, and they're always like, no, no, no. One person said yes, but then canceled on us.
What about Jimmy Dore and Matt Walsh? Do they know each other?
I don't know.
They'd have some
fun. There's a lot of crossover there.
It is, they probably agree on a lot.
Yeah.
Disagree on a lot of policy stuff. But the challenge for a lot of people is if they do their own show already, asking them to not do their show to come here is a lot. It's a lot. Plus, you know, Jimmy's on the West Coast, I believe. But I would love to have Jimmy on. I'm a big fan. Jimmy's fantastic. He's what an actual populist on the left looks like and talks about. And then when you watch his show, it's funny. They call him right wing and they smear him. And it's like, maybe people who don't like authoritarianism, whether they're right or left, agree with each other and you're the bad guys. You know what I mean? So it's like Jimmy can have policies on healthcare I don't agree with, but we all completely agree on the authoritarians and being awful.
Left
and bad.
Right libertarians have a lot in common. Liberty.
Real ones, at least, which are few and far. The left libertarian is hard to find, man. All right, let's grab some more. Let's see. Terry Hendrick says, if Truth Social is federated with the rest of the Fediverse, then will Gab also enable federation again? By the way, everyone should run for their own Fediverse server, run their own Fediverse server.
I don't think the Truth Social will federate for the same reason that we had to turn it off, is because it does not scale, at least in its current implementation. I'd be very surprised if they did that. If they did, I mean, it would be very interesting if we can figure out a way to make federation work at scale. But just from a technical standpoint, we are the only ones on the planet who have dealt with it at this level of scale. It just doesn't scale.
This is interesting. White Student Transmission says, has Gab considered chartering a credit union?
So we have looked into things like buying a bank and things like that, but what it does is it opens you up to more government regulatory issues and agencies, you know, staring down your back, right? So I'd rather partner with the bank than buy one at this point. But a credit union is a very interesting idea. I think we have a lot of gabbers who have brought this up, and it's certainly interesting. It's just not on our roadmap right now.
Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Tim, you may have just killed Getter. How does it feel? Not good, to be completely honest. I might not agree with, you know, the positions taken by their CEO. I may have, you know, called out things I thought were bad. But I look at it like this. If on the scale of free speech, it's negative 10 and positive 10. Positive 10 is free speech. Well, Gab is clearly at 9 or 10. Then you have Twitter, which is like negative 7. They allow you to say a lot of things, but they control most of what you say. Actually, maybe negative 7's a little harsh. Twitter does allow you to say a lot of things, but they still will ban you. So they're definitely in the negative category where they're controlling your speech. You're not in the free speech area. Getter is like, what, negative 1 or 0? They're still in that space, but it's better than Twitter. And so my view is, if we've gained even 2 points on the scale from Getter, that's a good thing. You want to solidify that position, and then in the coming months, move again, one step at a time. You're never going to convince an entire system, an economy or the internet, to jump from negative 7 to free speech completely. It's just too big a leap to make that societal change. So taking any victory you can would be a good thing. If Getter is saying we're going to allow people to speak the same as they could on Twitter, but we won't editorialize, I'm like, better than Twitter. Would we be better off using Gab?
Aren't they editorializing by, you know, banning people like Fuentes?
For sure. I'm just saying if they're 1 point better, then everyone should go to Getter. It's better than Twitter. In reality, everybody should probably go to Gab. If you can, you guys handle that, you know, $300 million.
Bring it on.
So I actually, you know, it doesn't feel good. A lot of people are saying like, oh, you know, look, Getter was made to look bad. And it's like someone commented saying, don't confuse perfect with good. You know, what Getter is doing is better than Twitter, and we should be happy with that victory and keep striving to push further and move on.
But it's still built on the infrastructure, so it doesn't change the premise. If people are trying to escape big tech tyranny, and they're going to a platform that is hosted by big tech and dependent on big tech infrastructure and dependent on big tech app stores and have a terms of service that is exactly like big tech, well, then what's the difference?
To be honest, you know, the big question was, why not just use Gab?
Right.
Or Minds, for that matter, to be honest, because Minds auto-posts all my stuff. Like, when I tweet, Minds picks it up instantly. And so it's just like, I have my presence there the same. It makes it a lot easier, a lot easier for me.
I can get up to about 5 social networks. But more than that, I start to get like, oh, what am I even going to put? Because I'm only posting the same thing on different networks. I try to be unique on each network. Like, Minds is my crazy, you know.
Man, I feel bad because a lot of people are ragging on Getter, you know?
You brought up, why did they ban Nick? It was a genuine conversation. I think it had to happen. And it all you did, if anything, was shine a flashlight on something. So I don't feel guilty about it. If the code's private, they can be doing all sorts of stuff to you and you don't know.
Someone super chatted that they were shocked at how unprepared Getter was for the sit down. And I don't know if you agree, Luke, what your thoughts
are. Well, we were getting into it, you know, before the show started, and I kind of asked him, you know, let's talk about Nick, you know, and we were like, this is an important conversation, let's save it for the show, and I thought it was an important conversation.
I
think we need to have more of these conversations, and it's the only way to bring forward the true reality of the situation.
It's tough for a CEO to speak for a company if they're not the founder and creator of the company. Like, he got hired by the company to do the job, so he wasn't there since the beginning. He wasn't the guy that decided on the mission statement of what the company's gonna be. So, like, you can represent Gab a lot easier because you created the thing.
Right, absolutely.
And same with Bill with Minds and Jack with Twitter.
Here's one from Sevi Rose. They say, that's a lie, Torba. Gab has never been larger than the Fediverse.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. In terms of posts, in terms of number of users, absolutely. By orders of magnitude.
But what does that mean by the Fediverse? Because I guess technically if you're in the Fediverse would always by default be bigger than one node. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do they mean Mastodon?
I guess, yeah, the Mastodon nodes. Yeah, if you take all the users across all of the different Mastodon nodes.
So you were the biggest.
We were the biggest, yeah. So we were bigger than all of them combined.
And then you ended up spamming, I guess. So a lot of people are saying, you know, this is we're at the point now where they're saying porn is not protected and things like that. So Green Country says, I'm not offended by nudity or sex, but there are some bodies that I would rather not see unclothed, if you know what I mean. Well, that's one way to point it out. Mines' position is what? Just a filter, right? It filters it out.
Yeah, if you don't mark it as explicit when you put it up and you keep violating that ethic code of you upholding your end of the bargain by making an account, you keep posting stuff that's lewd, you're going to get your entire account marked lewd so that whenever someone goes to your page, it's going to have a big E over it and it'll be grayed out. And so they're going to have to opt in to be able to see anything on your page.
I think I talked with you guys about that once, that it was like there's the free and open space outside the walls of the city, and you can choose to operate in the city walls, but you got to abide by the city's rules. And if you don't want to, you're free to go outside those walls and say whatever you want.
Live in the wilderness with the tigers. Yeah, that's basically
it's a tough debate, you know, whether it's art or self-expression. But I think it's definitely been weaponized in extremely egregious ways. But I think at the end of the day, it has to be how kids are being raised. And I think it's the parents' duties to inform the kids that this is extremely dangerous and it will ruin their lives.
But man, imagine a 4-year-old seeing some like crazy. That's just so mind warping.
It's a difficult conversation to have. And it's hard, you know, because how do you balance freedoms and expression and the destruction of the youth?
All right, going back to the UK stuff, Brian Knowles says, Boris Johnson had photos leaked of private parties. Almost every night for weeks during the lockdowns, everyone started calling for his resignation months ago. Lotus Eaters predicted he'd lift mandates to save his position.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
The plot thickens.
The conservatives in the UK were the ones calling for lockdowns and enforcing them.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah, you can't trust them, can you?
Nope.
All right, let's see what we got here. Mr. The Cool says, hello, Tim and Cruz. It is very cold down here in South Texas for some reason. Results, Texans weren't built for this type of weather. I guess the government trying to get back at us for going red. Are implying that they're controlling the weather.
China does that openly, admittedly. They brag about it.
Yeah, they've been doing, we've been doing what silver, what do they do? They do silver iodide or something in the sky.
Yeah, silver iodide causes light to refract, I think, and causes the temperature to cool down. That's the impetus of the idea of it.
And then it condenses.
Yeah, I haven't looked too
Bill
deep
Gates
into it.
Bill Gates had a project clouds where he wanted to seed the clouds to block the sun.
It's not a horrible idea. It's just unknown consequences.
It's a horrible idea.
Mark Jensen says, Ian, can you please say blob again?
Blob. blob. I think I know what you mean.
Alien J says, James O'Keefe says Amazon canceled pre-orders of his book. Just joined Gab. Love all you guys. Thanks for the open conversation. And someone else said that his book has been indefinitely delayed on Audible.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy, dude.
Who owns
2022
Audible?
Is going to be nuts. Yeah. It already is nuts for us. This month has been wacky, to say the least.
I just came across the numbers that Fediverse has about 4 million users. Is that right? This is from August, last August. I was trying to do the math on if it's
bigger. Does that include Gab, though?
It probably included Gab.
I'm not sure if they're still including us in those, because we actually got banned from a lot of those stat things, too.
Okay. How many users do you guys have?
Almost 6 million, I think, now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't need an account to log in, so we actually have 20 million uniques that are just using the site as their news source and exploring and all that stuff.
So, you could have an account to follow people, but not...
Yeah, to follow or to comment or to post, but most, the vast majority of our traffic is just passively, consuming the content or following different profiles or viewing different profiles or viewing different links or just coming to the homepage and seeing the content. They use it as their news source, really. And you don't need an account to explore the entire site.
Wyatt says Jimmy Dore will be in Pennsylvania in February, I believe. Maybe we should look at Jimmy's schedule and see if we can have him come hang out.
Rock and roll.
Jimmy's great. I went on his show and I didn't know what to expect. And this was years ago. And I knew he was like kind of on the left. And then we ended up just having a good conversation about everything. Because I think he's an honest guy. And that's all that matters. We can disagree on politics and we can disagree and then shake hands. But if we're honest about everything that's going on, it goes great. I always reference my conversation with Glenn Beck. We were discussing pro-life versus pro-choice. And we both had a really great conversation. We laughed. We shook hands. And he's like, that was fantastic. And I was like, yeah, we're trying, right? And he's like, yeah, it's great. And people really appreciated the honest attempt at understanding each other. Most of what you get now is tribalism, where it's like I was mentioning that, when I said about Carhartt, if you don't want to get vaccinated, quit. The left got mad at me for that?
Yeah, they're going to get mad at you for anything you say.
Right, exactly, because it makes no sense. I'm like, I thought they would agree with that.
And then there's people that are going to love you for anything you say, too. So you got to watch out for all of it.
That's right. And that's why you got to ignore the comments to a certain degree.
Don't take it personally. Yeah. Acknowledge them, understand them, and take nothing personal.
All right. A lot of people mentioning Jimmy Dore. That'd be fantastic. We'll take a look. Chris Stark says, Lizard King boards all the way. I used to skate until I fractured my, L1, L6 vertebrae and pelvis in 27 places. Whoa. Yikes. What did you do? Try to ollie like a 25 going after the leap of faith? There's always the death wish boards from Neen Williams. He usually has a good size. He's the master of heel flips.
Dude, he makes some great spices.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Neen.
Yeah.
He either sent them to us or you bought a bunch.
No, I bought a bunch.
Back in the day. Yeah, those were great.
Yeah, we got to order more of that stuff. The Not a Damn Chance spices.
So hot. Some of them are so hot. We might still have them, though. I don't know.
Like, you mean spicy?
Yeah, hot spicy.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, there was like lemon herb and there was like...
Yeah,
that was good stuff. I've known the guy... I wouldn't really say we're friends or anything, but I know him from back in Chicago, and he went pro, and he's like a really famous guy. And I saw his Instagram because he's like one of the most famous pro skaters, and he sells these spices, so we bought them. Super, they're really good stuff. The chicken one is what we annihilated those. The spicy chicken.
Oh yeah, so good.
We put it on everything. I put on grilled cheese.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I gotta order some of that stuff because they're probably in a box downstairs somewhere. To be honest. Mm. All right, Colin Pittman says just joined Gab. Also, back in the early 2000s, John Titor was on message boards talking about a civil war where it was the rural country versus the cities, oddly similar to today. Yeah, but didn't he predict that in like 2008? Do you guys remember that stuff?
I've heard of this guy. This is the time traveler?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought he predicted that would all happen in like 2008.
I don't remember the date.
But then, conveniently said, my interfering with the timeline could change things or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Calamitous events in 2004 is when he thought it was going to happen. And he made that claim in 2000, 2001. He said he was from 2036.
Well, it didn't. Mm. So maybe someone went back in time and stopped it from happening.
Double back
or
in
whatever.
Time.
Robert asks, does Gab have its own email service?
No, but we have been asked about that a lot. We did have to build our own email system. So we got banned from like Mailgun and all those services that you can, send mass emails. We had to stop everything that we were doing for about 3 months and build our own email system just to be able to send people password resets, confirmations, all that type of stuff, just basic transactional emails. We had to build our own.
Dude, that's so dangerous. You think they could do that to any human at any time.
Mm-hmm.
People need to understand that auto response emails are not a simple thing.
Mm-mm.
So when we launched our website, I didn't realize how quickly it would grow. And it grew so incredibly rapidly, I was surprised. So I love all of you guys. It's amazing. And then all of a sudden, we had to deal with, confirmation emails, account emails. And then all of a sudden, we're dealing with like 30,000 emails in only a couple of days. And our system locks. And then we're like, we don't know what's going on. We didn't realize we were going to get hit by that much. And then people are complaining and canceling. And I'm just like, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, you know, it's part of why.
Like rapidly expand infrastructure.
As we're building our open network, I'm like building the website and I'm like, I can't put a phone number on there. I can't put an email address. I mean, maybe I can't even put an email address on there in good conscience because it's going to get annihilated with content. So it's, but I understand now how do you contact Facebook? They don't want you to be able to contact them because they'll get 100 million hits or whatever. So how do you guys do?
Oh man, God bless our support team. That's all I have to say. You know, we have a great support team. They help people on the site. We have an email. People can reach out to the email. We try to get back to as many people as we can, but you know, we're human beings here. I mean, Gab is a family run business. A lot of the people that are, you know, running the support emails and stuff, it's like my brothers, my dad works for the company. I mean, it really is a family run business. We don't have the top professionals in the world, but I have people that I trust, right? That is the most important thing. That's one of the hardest challenges that we have is hiring, because it's like, who do you trust, right? And I trust my family, right, more than anybody else on this planet. So when I say Gab is a family-run business, I mean it. My whole family works for Gab.
This is a good question here from let's see, what is this? Comic Nut. He says, this is probably either a stupid question or a brilliant one. I think it's brilliant. If Facebook is experimenting on people without their knowledge, doesn't that violate the Nuremberg Code?
Let's read the Nuremberg Code.
Well, I think that only applies to governments, but it is right. Interesting that we've now allowed Facebook to bypass human rights protections. Because the Nuremberg Code says that if there's going to be an experiment, people have to be informed and consent to be involved.
Yeah, Nuremberg Code's a set of research ethics principles for human experimentation. I think that's
What's the first provision or whatever? Yeah, read that one.
10 points of the Nuremberg Code. The first one's the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential.
Wow. And what's the penalty for violating it?
I don't know. The penalty for violating the Nuremberg
Code? Is there
code?
One? I don't know.
Does it apply to governments only or to companies too? That's
what At this point, I think corporations are functioning as governments and maybe should be held accordingly. Penalty to Nuremberg Code.
All right. A Real Nick says, what is Gab's 5-year plan?
Save free speech on the internet. It's that simple. Well, you know, what we're doing now is we're working on, you know, what I'm calling the parallel economy. This is something I've been talking about for about a year now and building the tools to empower that parallel economy. So we have Gab Pay, which is our PayPal alternative. We have Gab Marketplace, which is our Facebook Marketplace, eBay, Etsy alternative. So what we're doing is we're empowering people to, you know, engage in commerce. We've created and we've protected free speech. We've enabled that. And inevitably what we see happen is when you have an area where you have free speech, free markets tend to develop. And we're seeing that happen organically and naturally on Gab right now. And we want to be able to provide the tools for people to do that in a much better way, in an easier way. So that's what we're working on now.
Parallel economy, man, I've warned about that years ago because it's a precursor to civil war or fracturing or divorce.
Maybe that's what they want you to think.
No, but it is.
Parallel economies.
When you have, we've seen it around the world. When you have two groups that isolate each other.
What if you have like.
And then start, they stop trading amongst each other.
Right.
Then they start fighting.
What if you have 100,000 parallel economies? That's different. It's two parallel economies that can see the heavy weight, but 1,000, 100,000 of them, maybe that's the point.
As long as there's lines between different factions that are connecting them, then you don't get that conflict breakout.
I think it's impossible to create a totally isolated, I'm not going to do anything. You know, it's almost impossible. The system is so interconnected, right? You know, if you're going to start a business, you're inevitably going to do business with people who don't share your values. It's just almost unavoidable. What we can do is make a good faith effort to spend your money and spend your time, you know, with places and with people and with businesses that share your values. I think, and that goes a long way.
I found a couple of people that were found guilty of violating the Nuremberg Code. At the end of the Nuremberg trials, Karl Brandt, Adolf Hitler's personal physician, execution. Rudolf Brandt, colonel in the SS, execution. I imagine that the penalty for violating the Nuremberg Code was execution at that point. But they were also Nazis.
Yikes. All right, Steven Robertson says, Tim, the correct answer is go to your local skate shop. Love the show. Always asking the hard questions. Check it out, Gab, now. Right on. If you provide patronage to your local skate shops. Avoid the mall shops if you can. You know, I don't want to hate on the mall shops necessarily. I appreciate anybody who's selling gear, but, you know, small businesses is where it's at. They have like, I'll tell you this, if I went to a local skate shop and they had a mask mandate, I'd go to the mall. But the mall had a mask mandate. It was really funny. I went to Zoomies and I had a bubble tea and I had my mask on. This was like last year. And so I walk in. And I take the mask off one ear and start sipping the drink and they go, hey, you got to put your mask back on. And I was like, I'm drinking bubble tea in the mall that I bought at the kiosk outside your store. And they were like, doesn't matter. You got to wear the mask. They were like, stick the straw under your mask.
I remember that.
I was just like, how does that make sense? Yeah. And I was like, whatever, dude. I don't need to drink my bubble tea. And I just I was like, I don't need to shop here. I just walked out of the store. It's insane.
I got some, I was thinking about, people making masks with straw holes in them. If it ever got to that point, I don't think it
people
will.
Did that. They have zippers on them. It's insane.
Hey, with the Nuremberg Code, it looks like it's talking about medical experimentation. That's what
specifically?
Yeah. No person should be forced to take a medical experiment without informed consent. Although, is psychological experimentation medical experimentation?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would
think it's so. Messing with your mental
They were
health.
Making people depressed. Yeah. They were showing them negative stuff to try and cause pain. Like, that's crazy, dude. At least that's what I read on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know it's true.
Yes. They were like changing the color of the page and stuff to give them different emotions.
No, they were having the feed send them negative content, like police brutality and stuff. I got to be careful, you know, fact check that. I don't know exactly what they were posting, but my understanding based on what I read was that could be wrong.
This is Facebook. I know what you're talking about. I'm going to look it up.
All right. What is this one? Roger says, Tim and Luke, I want a gorilla action figure that says random Luke-isms when you hit a button on his back.
I like that idea.
Or like a Luke action figure that it'll say something funny like exacerbate.
Yes.
Like, when I was saying that in today's show, I knew exactly what you're like. I almost burst out laughing.
All right, everybody. We are going to head over to our members-only podcast. We're going to start recording that right now. So go to timcast.com, become a member, sign up if you want to support the work we do on this show, if you want to support our journalists. And if you want to watch the after show and our massive library of content, we've had people on like, you know, Steve Bannon, Alex Jones, big names, Mike Rowe, for instance, really great conversations, Marjorie Taylor Greene. So go to timcast.com, become a member, follow the show at TimcastIRL, basically everywhere. You can follow me at Timcast, basically everywhere, which includes on Gab. And, Andrew, you want to shout anything out?
Get on Gab, gab.com. By the way, if you want to get our app, since we're banned from the app stores, I think this is important, go to help.gab.com and it'll show you how to get the app on iOS and Android.
Right on.
Nice. Andrew, you got me with that Ron Paul answer. I signed up to Gab. My account is the same one on Twitter and Instagram. Luke, we are change. Luke, we are change on Gab. I'm going to try out your platform. I like all the answers that you gave us, so I appreciate your time. I also have my own independent media organization called We Are Change. I released a really important video about what's happening in Russia today on youtube.com/We Are Change. Hope to see some of you guys there. And thank you for that conversation.
Thanks for having
me. That's great, man. Okay, so I did confirm Facebook data scientists manipulated the news feed of almost 690,000 users, showing them positive updates and negative ones unknown in 2012.
Yep.
690,000 people, that's a lot of people. And this is not the only experiment they've done. We can maybe go into this later. There's a lot.
Yeah, and this is what they admitted to.
Let's get into the member segment. We'll talk about the evils of these companies.
Thank you guys so much for coming. IanCrossland.net. I'm Ian Crossland. Check you later.
And I am Sarah Patchlitz. I'm going to have to get on to Gab. I usually use Minds as my alternative media platform. I just realized I haven't logged into Facebook since before Christmas. Since I got my phone.
Excellent.
So I'm strong on that one. You guys may follow me on Twitter at Sarah Patchlitz.
And Gab when you get on.
Oh, yeah.
We will see you all over at timcast.com. The show should be up around 11 or so p.m. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you there.
Bye, guys.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.